Chicago Sports Conversation is now.
As I told those guys, you know, to every one of them, everybody in there, there'll be better days moving forward.
You're fired!
Nawaba has it, and then Nawaba drives and missed that.
But there's the finisher. Oh, man.
The Beat.
John has always had an affinity for Oakland, and the owner has had an affinity for him.
There's a beautiful banana. Doesn't it look like a banana, Mike?
On 720 WGN.
I do love a good banana. With a little peanut butter, Harry.
Chocolate. Banana's made for chocolate.
Yeah.
Let me come out of the gate right now at the Carm and tell you that if you don't combine chocolate and banana, you're missing out on one of God's great back and forth that he ever created.
Strong start. Very strong start to the show. Chocolate and banana is great, Harry. Of course, I'm with you. However, peanut butter is in a spread formation. Very easy to attach to the banana. Spoon, peanut butter, banana, breakfast, lunch, dinner, snack. Great option. Always a part of my day. Literally every day. Had it about an hour ago.
Get yourself a knife and slice some bananas over Cocoa Krispies. Get yourself a knife and slice a banana right down the middle and pour chocolate ice cream on there and just kind of submerge yourself in one of God's great treasures. Get yourself some Hershey's syrup, right? If you're George Costanza, you can get Bosco.
Hot fudge.
Banana. How about you ever go to, like, to a wedding and they've got a chocolate fountain or a graduation or a what do we say? Contisiceros? How do I pronounce that word? The Mexican celebration when the kid is
Piñata?
No. A
concierge?
When a kid turns 16. I've got my phone.
Quinceañera?
Yes. How do I say it?
Quinceañera.
Go Dan Long. Look at Dan Long. But by the way, we should welcome you and thank you for listening, and we appreciate you. Happy New Year.
Chocolate fountain.
Mark Carmen and Harry Tino, it's with you till 7 o'clock on 720 WGN. Phone number's 312-981-7200. If you ever just want to call, we'll have topics for you too. But if you ever just want to call and say hi, you can always do that. And that's the text line as well. At Hey Tweet Harry, which is an outstanding Twitter account that Harry Tynowitz is a part of, and at the Carm.
I'm part of it.
Yes, we have huge breaking news. Before we get into anything, Jerome Bettis, Hall of Famer, is going to be on the show today. LaDainian Tomlinson, Hall of Famer, is going to be on the show today. Gordon Whittemeyer of the Chicago Cubs had a major
Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer to be on the show today, 6:10. But
Troy Murray.
We have been in the polar vortex. We have been battling. It has been painful to leave your house. It has been painful to get in your car. We have all been cooped up. But today is the last day of cold. Tomorrow it's going to be in the 30s. And we here at 720 WGN want to lead you into a party.
Let's go surfing now. Everybody's learning how. Come on a safari with me.
You have done it. Every year, it's the worst feeling ever. You live here. It's never going to go. We're never going to see the sun again. You look at the lake, steam coming off it. It's pure misery. 30 degrees tomorrow, Harry. What are you going to do?
Carm, the sun might supernova tomorrow, but I don't care. I'm getting a big beach towel, probably my Las Vegas Strip beach towel. It's got all them Vegas hotels on it, and I'm going to put it right in the front yard, and I'm going to get out there in my bathing suit, and I am going to get one of them silver half circles,
yes.
Hold it up to my chin, and I'm going to get a tan. I'm going to blast me some Beach Boys. And I am going to just enjoy one of those umbrella drinks, virgin style.
That's a big move by you. I like that. Don't be afraid to dance in your car right now. Let's serve at Safari. Dan Long, what are you going to do tomorrow? Serve at Safari.
I think I'm going to pack up the cooler, head out to the park, get a couple people together, get a nice 16-inch softball game going.
Oh, yes. There you go. Right city to do that in, Dan Long. Look out for the top digit of your fingers.
I will be there to shovel that snow for you, Dan. You know what I'm going to do? That just made me think of what I'm going to do. I'm going to go old school, a young Mark Carman. I'm going to grab the indoor-outdoor basketball. Don't have a driveway anymore. Times are a little bit tougher. But I'm going to go to your outdoor park, Harry. I'm going to bounce that ball. I'm going to lay it in off the window. I'm going to shoot that jump shot. I'm going to work out my dribbling skills. I'm going to live an outdoor basketball dream tomorrow.
I am going to look for the good humor man. Where is that good humor man in that familiar white truck? I will hear those bells a-popping, and I'm thinking chocolate fudge cake.
We expect.
I am thinking chocolate chip candy. You know what I'm talking about? The ice cream bar that's got the little fudge center in the middle.
It's a huge win. It's
huge win. Perhaps the greatest ice cream sandwich of all time is the good humor ice cream sandwich.
And at an affordable price, the good humor.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, when you let it melt, I always let my ice cream melt a little. I can't. My wife eats ice cream instantaneously. She likes it frozen. If she could chip it off a glacier, she would eat it that way. I like it when the ice cream melts, it gets soft. I microwave my ice cream, you know, truth be told. And then you push the ice cream sandwich, you know, the wafers down, and the vanilla kind of comes out around the edge, you know, much like I used to. And it's just so good.
Was that a shot at your own body in the back in the day? Like the vanilla coming out, your own...
Oh, yeah. Definitely a shot. Still a shot.
No, you look great.
No, ho.
Remember when we had Amber Gideon on the show and it was Skinny Fat?
Skinny Fat. That girl was great. That is the local songwriter who wrote a song called Skinny Fat.
Harry and I were filling in New Year's Day night. If you want to learn about Skinny Fat, you can go to WGNRadio.com. All right. Big news this week as we segue back into the sports world. We'll do it coming back here. Big news, Harry. Do you remember the Chicago Bulls of the 1990s? Have I ever mentioned that I'm a big basketball guy?
Yeah. Are you talking about Michael, Scotty, and Judd?
Michael, Scotty, and Judd Bushler. Yes, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I remember the 90s Bulls.
Do you remember Jerry Krause, Jerry Reinsdorf, Phil Jackson, Michael Jordan? You remember that whole thing?
Yeah, I do, and I'm very glad that Krause got into the HOF.
Into the Hall of Fame. Congratulations to Jerry and the Krause family. There is, I think, it was, you know, I always thought the Bulls' run should have extended longer. And now we're seeing a slight parallel, minus the Michael Jordan factor, although Tom Brady, in his own right, is certainly up there as far as quarterbacks in the history of the game. But we have a meltdown coming in New England.
You're saying that on, like, one of the coldest days, of the, you know, in the last 50 years.
Yeah, and significant snow, and yes, I'm glad that Dave Ennett made it out to see the Cats in Penn State, and I assume he's back safe.
Dave Ennett is like the mail. He cannot be stopped. You can divert his plane. You can divert his team bus. You can try any trick you got up your sleeve, old man Winter, but Dave Ennett will not be stopped.
They tried to land somewhere, wherever you land by Penn State.
Mm-hmm.
Could not land.
I had to leave. I'm told it's the hardest football stadium to get to.
Okay, did not know that.
Once you land, like it's just hard to get to that spot. Like kind of like K-State used to be hard to get to. You're familiar with Manhattan, Kansas.
I am familiar with Manhattan, Kansas. I've seen a K-State basketball game in person. Great venue. Underrated.
Throw it out there. Your favorite K-State alumni of all time?
My favorite K-State I got to go with
Yes, you're going to go with Rolando Blackman?
No.
Michael Beasley?
No.
Steve Grogan?
My favorite K-State guy was head coach Frank Martin when he was there. I loved that guy.
Yeah, he's a Gamecock now.
I know. It's in that weird turn for the show. But hey, how can this be of benefit to all of us, what's going on in New England? We're going to talk about it coming back here. 720 WGN. 720 WGN. Explosive report, ESPN this week, Harry Tynowitz. The New England Patriots coming apart at the seams. Bill Belichick wanted to trade Tom Brady and go with Jimmy Garoppolo. Bob Kraft said, no way, sir, get rid of Garoppolo. So he pitched him off for a second-round draft pick. He goes out to San Francisco, goes 5-0 on a team that was 1-10. And there could be dissension in New England. How could this affect the Chicago Bears? We'll get there in a second. Your thoughts on dissension in New England? I thought that was the biggest story of the week in the sporting world.
Dissension in New England is probably my favorite Barry Manilow song. If you're trading Tom Brady, you've got to think Garoppolo is spectacular. And Bill Belichick is a fantastic judge of talent. Now, I think he's really good, and I think he's going to be a franchise quarterback for the 49ers. But if I'm trading Tom Brady and Garoppolo's my guy, then, you know, and I'm Bill Belichick, he's got to be 10 times better than we think he is. I mean, and Kraft will win. The owner will win.
And the owner has won. The owner always wins. He won here in Chicago with Jerry Reinsdorf picking Jerry Krause over Phil Jackson and Michael Jordan. You look at, but there's precedence for what would have gone on in New England. The Green Bay Packers moved on from Brett Favre. They said, hey, we got this guy sitting on the bench. His name is Aaron Rodgers. We think he's ready to go, and he's going to play. And, Brett, you can go off to Minnesota and play for the Jets and all that. Same thing happened in San Francisco. Joe Montana, you're sweet, but, yeah, why don't you go take the Kansas City Chiefs to the playoffs? We're going with Steve Young. So, you know, and Tom Brady's 40 years old. Bill Belichick went 3-1 to start 2016 with Garoppolo, who then got hurt, and Jacoby Brissett. So I think it adds up to me that he really did believe that he could win with either Garoppolo or Brissett, who I don't think he wanted to trade either of them. Like, I really do believe that Belichick was looking at the long-term plan and thinking Garoppolo was the play, and he got talked out of it. All that adds up to me. Now, let me ask you a question. If they were on the open market right now, Bill Belichick, because you can trade coaches, happened many times in the NFL. John Gruden, who just signed a 10-year, $100 million deal.
It's more money than I have on me.
Right. He was once an Oakland Raider, if people remember, and he was traded for 4 draft picks to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who won a Super Bowl with Gruden. Now they have the greatest defense ever and all that. So you could
trade. Oh.
Not ever. Not ever.
Oh,
not ever.
Thank
I apologize. I apologize to Dan Hampton. I apologize to Steve McMichael. I apologize to Richard Dent. I apologize to Mike Singletary, Wilbur Marshall, Otis Wilson, L.A. Mike Richardson, Gary Fencik.
They keep going. You're two away.
Dave Duerson.
Yeah, you're two away.
Leslie Frazier.
Yeah.
And The Fridge.
Nicely done at the Carm.
Come on. It's prime Carm childhood. So, but a really, really good defense. Anyway, but moving on, you can do that. So if I'm Belichick and you want to stick with Brady and you're not letting me do what I want to do with the organization, maybe Belichick gets traded. And it's too late now, but who do you think is worth more on the open market, Brady or Belichick?
Today, I think it's Bill Belichick. I think if you could have, you know, we have these goofy conversations on radio where, you know, if you could have Tom Brady, you know, in his prime, or Bill Belichick, Tom Brady. If you could have Tom Brady as a rookie, or Bill Belichick, Tom Brady. But Brady's got, you know, and it's crazy because he could probably play another 4 or 5 seasons. But I would take Belichick at this point. Today, if you said, who do you want? You could have either one of the Bears. I'd have to take Belichick. We've got, I mean, how do you not take Tom Brady? Belichick is the smarter pick. Brady is the immediate satisfaction, the instant gratification pick, but Belichick is the smarter pick.
You want to know what a Hall of Famer by the name of LaDainian Tomlinson, who we're going to hear from later in the show a little more in detail, you want to know what he thinks on that one?
What do you think?
What did LaDainian Tomlinson think, Brady versus Belichick?
Yeah, I think it's Bill Belichick simply because he has more years left in the National Football League. You know, Bill is only 60-something. You know, he can coach for another 10 years, possibly. And, you know, Tom Brady is over 40. He's only going to play the quarterback position for another 2 years, maybe. And then you have to find another guy. And so without question, what Bill Belichick can bring to an organization, even beyond coaching, his ability to pick players, to develop players, that's what he's been so good at. So I think he adds more value.
So there you go. Now, the Chicago Bears are looking for a head coach. You have problems in New England. The Chicago Bears are looking for somebody who knows the game through and through and could build an organization or at least help do it. Why not dial up good old Bob Kraft after the Patriots win the Super Bowl again and find out how legit this is, call Bill Belichick, whatever, and be like, look, we will give you I would give up the entire draft.
It worked so well for Ditka.
It's different, though. Like, you're getting a guy who's going to build your whole organization.
Who could be there for 10 years, who you know is great. Ricky Williams was, we think this, you know, guy will be terrific in the pros.
Like, who's the most valuable Cub in the last 5 years?
The last 5 years, valuable Cub? You'd have an argument. I mean, you can make a really good case for Rizzo, for Bryant.
But you can
make a very good case for Jake Arrieta.
But I would say the most valuable Cub, without question, in the last decade
Joe Madden.
Actually ever, is Theo.
Well, he's not a Cub.
He's a Cub to me.
A Cub employee.
Right.
Member of the Cubs organization.
Right. You would be bringing in Theo. You what's been the most valuable Blackhawk in the last 50 years?
Rocky.
Rocky. 100%. I mean, what's that worth? I'd give up the whole draft for Bill Belichick. Hey, man, you're the guy. Fix the culture. Coach the team. Draft the players. Deal with 1 year of terribleness and work on Mitchell Trubisky, and we'll sign some free agents, and then we'll go from there. Like,
But this would be dependent upon an organization that would then step back and let him do whatever he wants, and I don't know if the Bears would do that.
Listen, I don't think any of this is even like remotely possible.
Right.
But
you're living in the future. Bruce would say.
If we could live in dreamland for 1 second, if Bill Belichick is in,
where do you think I wake up every day?
Exactly right. Like, if Bill Belichick's really available, I would think that teams around the league are calling up New England. If John Gruden's worth 10 years and $100 million to coach the Raiders, that's crazy. That is legit crazy. I mean, what's Belichick worth? John Gruden's won one Super Bowl. His final 6 years in Tampa Bay.
Hasn't coached in 9 years.
Right. This dude is the king of all kings. Now he's a cheater and everything else. My point would be that I have integrity, Harry Tynowitz, mm-hmm. and integrity matters to me. But that being said, okay, we're living in the National Football League. I get it. He ain't the only one bending the rules.
If the Bears announced today that they had traded their entire 2018 draft class for Bill Belichick, and they had signed Bill Belichick to a 10-year, $200 million contract.
It'd be the greatest day in franchise history.
That would be spectacular, okay? That would be fantastic. But the reality of it is, Kraft's not letting him go anywhere. And I don't know if Belichick is the same when he took over Cleveland. You know, he was a linebacker coach for Parcells, a defensive coach for Parcells. Took over Cleveland. He was there for like 3 days, and he boogied out. And I don't know if he would come here at this point in his career, and want to like start building a whole new franchise again.
312-981-7200. Who wants to build the bridge for Belichick? Who can let me get it? Let's get a little momentum going on here. We're going to start at 720 WGN. We're going to filter it out to Halas Hall. We're going to crawl it out to New England, and we're going to bring Bill Belichick home. He was in Cleveland for 4 years. They went to the playoffs once, which for the Browns is amazing. The Browns are amazing. Their fans had a parade today for the 0-16 Browns. Did you see this?
How do you have a parade for an 0-16 team?
Because their fans want to show them how bothered they are. There was a parade around the stadium in Cleveland today with cars going through, dancers, people singing, "Let's go Browns."
That'd be like if they had a parade the morning after my prom date.
Was it that bad?
Oh, yeah.
Who was the prom date?
Well, it ended up being Steve Nordmark, my friend. We just went to the Golden Bear, up on, Lake Cook Road, and had the all-you-can-eat fried chicken. But Cleveland, how do you celebrate ineptness? Remember how mad Johnny Morton was when the Lions were 0-16? I mean, those players are ticked off. Those players got to be embarrassed by that.
They were. They were asking the fans not to do it. But
did you see Kobe this week on Kimmel?
I did not see Kobe, no.
Well, come on. You're Mr. NBA.
I love Kobe. I love Kimmel. I should have watched it. I apologize.
Kobe is coaching his daughter's team. Can you imagine that? Your kid is like playing in a high school team, and Kobe Bryant's daughter's on the team, and Kobe says, "Hey, I'm going to coach your team." So Kimmel asked Kobe about participation trophies. And he goes, "They suck. They're terrible." I used to think participation trophies were great because I grew up, you'll find this hard to believe. I was not a fantastic natural athlete. I grew up thinking, hey, get out there, try your hardest, do your best. But you only get a trophy if you win, right? That's now they have participation trophies. Everybody feels better about themselves. And then I saw my son like fake an injury, get out of playing the second half of a hot, sunny game. And then he took a trophy at the end. And I'm like, you really going to put that up in your room? And Kobe said participation trophies suck. And when his girls got a participation trophy for finishing fifth in this league, in this tournament they were in, they all wanted to like throw him away. He said, no, keep him up in your room, put them on your dresser, look at them every day, and remember.
Motivation.
Right. It's motivation. That's what it is.
I think that's beautiful. And the spirit of, I don't have a problem with the spirit of the participation trophy. If you go out there and you really gave it your all.
I've turned around. I've done a 180 on it. It's a bad thing.
Why is it bad?
Because it celebrates ineptitude.
It's not. Hold on.
It celebrates failure. You didn't win.
Okay. A kid going out there and giving his all, it shouldn't all be about the result. Give a little love to the process. That's what they're trying to do with the participation trophy.
At the Olympics, I get why you get a silver medal. I get why you get a bronze medal. In the entire world, you're the second greatest. You're the third greatest. I understand why you get that. But they're not giving every single entrant in the Olympics a medal.
No, but that's a whole nother level. We're talking about 6 and 8 year olds, and we're trying to reward.
Too bad.
Okay. I mean, the world's not going to be in trouble because we have participation trophies. Everyone's getting stopped. No, hold on a second. Kids are out there like working with a trainer when they're 2 years old now. There's a 6 year old on YouTube that's made $11 million this year showing people how to play with toys. You see that kid?
Yeah, I know.
Right. So, I mean, kids are doing more nowadays than they ever have. What were you doing at six? You weren't making $11 million, Harry Tynowitz.
No, $6 million. I was making friends with the guy that owned the Baskin Robbins in downtown Glencoe.
It's a great job by you.
312-981-7200. Do participation trophies have a place or do they suck?
WGN 435. Hope you're having a great weekend. Appreciate you being with us for a couple of moments on a Saturday afternoon. A couple people responding to your participation trophies, Harry.
Mm-hmm. My angst. And again, I was once like trumpeting participation trophies. I thought they were a great way to get, you know, every kid more into participating in sports.
It says here from the 630, Harm, I think that's me, you are
or
wrong.
It could be a combo of us.
It could be Harm and Harry.
You know, like Ben Affleck and J-Lo, weren't they Bennifer for a while?
I believe that's true for a moment.
Yes.
You want to just take on the same name?
Harm.
You're Harry, I'm Carm, we're Harm.
I feel like you should go first.
I mean, that's a little bit too much enmeshment for my...
You should go first, feel like Carrie.
No. I'm good with... I'll tell you, I got more letters.
Harm.
You only have... Well, actually...
Let's change the name of the show from the beat to the Harm.
Harm, you are wrong on participation trophies. They just encourage kids to expect reward for whatever effort they manage to put forth. I see it at work every day. Sir, I would encourage you to call in because I want to know exactly what you see at work. I mean, what does winning the day look like in your work environment? I'd like to know. Some people say participation trophies stock. They don't teach kids. Participate trophy stock, I'm assuming that suck. They don't teach kids how to lose. 708, you have the best text in so far, which is give a medal to Aku, which is my stuffed turtle, stuffed animal turtle.
How about this guy? Puts his name on his text. I love that. David Zera, they suck with 7 exclamation marks.
Yeah. And then one text that's not about participation trophies from Mary. Hi, Mark. Hi, Harry. Harry, I just want to tell you that I love soft ice cream, too. I always microwave any ice cream or frozen yogurt item. You get more flavor. You have more mouth to feel. When it's frozen solid, there's little taste in the ice cream. Your mouth gets frozen. You can't taste anything. That's Mary's advice on ice cream.
Mary, you see things so clearly.
Mary, you're brilliant.
Mary, I am channeling you right now, and I know it's cold out, but I think maybe there's some ice cream in both of our futures at some point tonight.
Had a little gelato last night, Harry.
Oh, you and your fancy schmancy ice cream.
I would have gone straight ice cream, but you know the restaurant establishment only had the gelato.
I had a spoon of gelato yesterday.
Gelato's a delicious.
What kind of gelato did you have, by the way?
We went with there was a 2-scoop option, so we had the chocolate and the hazelnut, Harry. Does that...
Yes. Are you referring to you and your stomach when you say we?
That would be me and Chelsea.
Okay.
Yes.
I had an audition yesterday at the I.O., the Improv Olympics.
You did?
Yes.
Doing for what?
A small part in Chicago Med. And
did you get it?
I didn't get called back. I assume that I didn't get that they would have done call, but callbacks are Monday. I assume I would have gotten called yesterday, but I thought I read really well. It was a much older guy. It was like the character was like a 70-year-old with emphysema, but I like it that my agent just throws me out there, puts me in stuff, because my theory is if I'm right for it, I'll create my own reality.
Yeah, and
plus, Dick Wolf, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, they can make you look older.
Right, plus, like, I want to get in with those Dick Wolf shows, so if I read well for one of them, at some point, one of the directors will go, oh, he's not right for this part, but maybe we'll use him for something else. But anyhow, at the Improv Olympics on Sheffield up there, like by North Avenue, great place. You should go there. Tuesday night, Norm Holly, Susan Messing, 10:30 show, great. I park at the Whole Food Market, but I have to buy something at Whole Foods.
Okay, so you're stealing Whole Foods parking so you can go there and not pay. It's okay.
How am I stealing if I go and buy? I just said I'm buying something at Whole Foods.
Right, but there's all these signs in Whole Foods, Harry. By the way, I do this myself. Don't worry, you're not alone. But there are all these signs there. Parking is for Whole Foods only. You're parking at Whole Foods and then going across the street to try out for the Improv Olympic.
I'm trying it out for Chicago Med,
right,
at the Improv Olympic space.
That's stealing.
But I'm going into Whole Food afterwards. I'm at my audition for 20 minutes, and then I'm at Whole Food, and I'm getting some dandy blueberry muffins. And I'm shopping there, and while I was there, I went by a gelato, and I was looking for banana. They didn't have any.
Don't really believe that you were only there for 20 minutes. I think it was at least an hour.
At the audition?
Yeah.
No, 20 minutes. Could I figure...
At what point would it be stealing?
It would be 30 minutes. It would be stealing if I didn't get anything at Whole Foods.
So could you park there all day and go across the street and buy a coffee, and then it wouldn't be stealing?
Get a little lawyer in your car. That's a good question.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to, because I.
Yeah. You know what? It wouldn't be stealing because I'm a Whole Foods customer.
312-981-7200. Is Harry stealing from Whole Foods when he parks at Whole Foods but then goes somewhere else to do other things but yet buys an item, allegedly?
Okay. Let's say that you're Mr. Whole, okay? Or you're Mr. Foods.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Either one of the partners.
Hey, Mr. Whole, can I park my car there and buy one thing and be there for all day?
I wasn't planning on going to your store, but as it turns out, I would like to park here, and I'm more than happy to go to your store with all this good stuff and get something. And thank you for dropping the prices recently.
312-981-7200, 217 texting in, yes, Harry is stealing.
That's a bunch of hoo-ha. Come on, I'm not stealing.
Dan Long, is Harry stealing when he parks at Whole Foods? What do you think? Is that theft?
Well, didn't he? You said you bought something, right?
Yeah.
So no,
I bought two things.
I say this parking is fair game.
312-981-7200. Is Harry Tynowitz a thief?
Unless there are people lined up at Whole Foods who want to get in that can't, parking is fair game.
Thank you.
And then you would be stealing customers from them.
And that's where I'm going. This was 10:20 in the morning. There's like nobody in their lot. There were multiple spaces. There were multiple, and I know that, and I could ask your girlfriend, you're probably not familiar with the word multiple, but there were multiple spaces available. I took one of about 70.
Did you
70,
just take a shot at my sex game? That is rude and inconsiderate. Continue on.
Call me a thief again.
Well, I'm not calling you a thief. I'm asking 312-981-7200 if Harry is a thief.
Aladdin was a thief. Okay? Robert Wagner, when he played Alexander Monday in the old TV show It Takes a Thief, he was a thief. Okay? The guys in Ocean's 11, thieves all of them. I am not a thief. There were 70-some parking spaces available. I took one of them, Carmen, for about half an hour.
Doesn't matter. Listen, there is a Whole Foods that is very close to WGN Radio. Parking at WGN Radio can be very sparse. I have parked in that Whole Foods and done the exact same thing that you have. So maybe I should make the question, are we both thieves?
That's a better way to ask that question.
Okay, well, I know you don't want to be singled out. I get it.
So you park like in the building with the movie theater?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's signs all over. That's why, how do you think I know so well the signs here? If you are not here for Whole Foods, you will be towed.
I'm trying to remember. Do I get free parking there if I go see a movie?
No.
Well, I don't get free. Wait. That AMC movie there with the 20. It's a really nice theater, by the way. I don't get free parking if I see a movie? Sure, I do.
It's not the AMC lot. It's
I'm talking about the one that's over.
You're confusing the issue. Get away. Let's stick it to Whole Foods.
Okay.
And by the way, Todd's very disappointed in you. Welcome to the show, Todd.
Enjoy what's, the club.
What's up, Todd?
Hey, Harry, this is Todd. You were the best man at my wedding. We got married at the Cerberus 20 years ago. Do you remember that?
I do remember that, Todd. You got married in the pool. You were awesome. Yep. Your wife was cool. And it was Cochran's show. And Todd and his wife got married in the pool at the Cerberus. We had the whole thing. I insisted the whole thing be cleaned twice. And we had, like, open beers going. How cool is this guy? Got married in the pool at the Cerberus.
Way too much
live on the radio while we're drinking, like, a 24-pack.
And still married.
Are you really?
Absolutely.
That's spectacular. Any kids?
Yeah, one son.
Was he also born in the pool at the Cerberus?
No, it might have been created there, but not born there.
Way off topic here. Please stay on point. Todd, is Harry a thief?
I'm ashamed of you, Harry. Yeah, when it says customer parking only, you can only be their customer. You can't go anywhere else.
Thank you.
Whoa, Todd, hold on, Todd. I'm in the grocery store yesterday for 20 minutes, bought two things. I would have bought three things, but they didn't have what I was looking for in the ice cream section. How am I a thief? I was a customer, and I purchased two things, and they had money they would have never had if I hadn't parked there.
Todd, before you answer that, let me continue on. This is your own way of manipulating the world to fit into your box. It is a blatant theft maneuver that is a low level. But it is, and you're not owning it. When I do that, yeah. I am telling you,
because
I am stealing. Because
here's the difference. If I hadn't gone into Whole Foods, if I hadn't spent any money at Whole Foods, then I'm a thief.
Doesn't matter. Todd, lecture Harry.
Harry, you went to the improv first, right?
Yes. Did my audition first.
Your car was gone. What would you have told them?
I would have told them the truth. I was planning on going to Whole Foods after I did my audition.
And they would have said, go get your car out of the tow lot. Sorry.
Do you think I'm the only person? Do you know how many people come down to Chicago and park somewhere where if they're a customer of a particular place, they can park there and they go to multiple places while they're down there?
Again, it's not about what other people are doing. This is about you.
If they were all going to jump off a bridge, you know.
Thank you. Todd, you're a brilliant man. Thank you.
Just because they all do don't make it right.
What if they were going to drop? What if they were going to jump off bow bridges?
Todd, happy.
Nice talking to you guys.
Happy New
Todd,
Year.
Todd, stay in touch.
You too.
That's awesome.
Care,
it's awesome that you're married. Hey, did you name your kid Cochran?
I just got rid of him. I'm sorry. He did not name his kid Cochran. I'll answer that question. Who was he? You? What happened? You were at the Cerberus and Todd got married. What?
Let me tell you something. We used to have a lot of fun on the Cochran Show. Somebody get, and they have fun now in the morning, 6 to 10, right here on WGN before Bill and Wendy.
That's exactly right.
So Cochran had some kind of contest, and this guy Todd won, and he and his girlfriend got married in the pool at the Cerberus. Bonnie Hunt's mom and sister were there for some reason, and I was the best man for some reason. And I remember asking his bride to be, if I'm the best man, why are you marrying him?
That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. But the wedding was performed there, and someone said they have no chance. And here it is 20 years later, and Todd is still married.
That's outstanding. Good job, Todd. Way to approach your wife and be beautiful. 773 texting in, Harry is a thief.
I am not a thief.
Harry is a thief that won't admit he's a thief.
By the way, thief is like leaf. If it's singular, it's with an F, but if it's plural, it's with a V.
You're a multiple-time thief. Christine, talk to Harry.
Harry, dear.
Yes?
You've read the signage, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So whether they actually do or don't, they have legally stated their grounds, okay?
That's true.
And so one of these days, you're going to walk out of there, and precisely also because you've identified yourself, you're going to find your tiny white hiney, and they're going to tow your car.
So, Christine.
Yes, dear.
Would it be so if I had gone there first? No.
They say they have signage. And they have outlined their legal rights and your legal rights. And they say, hey, Harry, if you park your car and you do anything other than shop at Whole Foods and you leave this property, the Whole Foods I shop at says, if you park your car here and leave this property, we will tow your tiny white hiney and your car.
Right. Well, it's actually written there, tiny white tiny.
Well, no, hold, hold on. Hold on, Christine. Hold on, Christine.
Yes,
their,
yes,
their signage says parking for Whole Foods customers only. It doesn't say don't go anywhere else while you're parked here.
I will say that it depends upon which Whole Foods at which you park. So the Whole Foods where I park my car precisely says, you leave the property, we reserve the right to tow you.
Ooh.
And they have cameras and people everywhere, dear. Ooh. You're going to get towed sometime.
By the way, I'm a big fan of the song Christine, the movie Christine, and Christine McVie of Fleetwood Mac.
I don't spell my name that way.
How do you spell your name?
Thank you.
How do you spell your name?
It's unique. It's an anglicization of a German spelling.
An anglicization of a German spelling? It's the third time that's happened to me today. How do you spell your name?
Can't believe that's on the air right now. Go ahead with your anglicization. How do you spell your name, Christine?
With a K-R-I-S-T-E-N-E. And now everybody listening knows where to find me.
Great. Thank you, Christine.
That's like a pop star would spell it like that.
Christine's big, Harry. By the way, the police have called in. And they say that, actually, factually, you're not a thief, but
yes,
you're a trespasser. You have trespassed.
Police have not called in.
Yes, Dan Long, have the police called in or have the police not called in? Dan Long took the call, man. The police have called. You're a flat-out trespasser.
Come on.
True story or
Dan,
not true story?
Dan, did the cops call?
Absolutely true story.
And what did they say?
They said you're not a thief. You were trespassing.
I told you what they said. Do not listen to. You don't trust. You know what? Let me tell you what your problem is, Harry. If I may.
How much time do we have?
Well, you have what I relate to all of this, Harry. The difference between me and you right now is that I'm owning it. I own that when I do what you're talking about, I am stealing, and it is wrong, and sometimes I will still do it, knowing that it is wrong, and I'm bending the rules.
Mm-hmm.
What I believe we have going on here, Harry, is a little bit of an authority issue. You do not like to be told what to do. You are not a rules follower. You like to live in Harryland. And by the way, I can relate to all of that. I'm right there with you.
There was a time, Carm, I would buck the system. Okay? I was a system bucker. However, at this point, all I'm really doing is strategically plotting out my morning. And here's a Lou DeFalco texting in saying, I'm with you. Okay? You're allowed to do that.
Who's Lou DeFalco?
Well, he's a buddy of mine.
Related to Carmen DeFalco? What are we talking
about? Father. And he just texts me. He just texted me and said, I'm with you on this one.
All right. Well, if Papa Lou is with you, then Papa Lou is a great man, and I get it, but you're...
By the way, Lou DeFalco's birthday, February
25th.
I'm a numbers guy.
Right.
Okay, look, Carm, if I don't shop at... And by the way, to the Chicago police, rock and roll. I love Chicago coppers, okay? I love all coppers. I love all firefighters. I sent out a text... I got a little emotional on New Year's night talking about firefighters and how they went into my house when I was a kid and they saved everybody and then, you know, I didn't even know them. So I love cops. I love firefighters. But I believe, officer, how could I be trespassing if I walk? Maybe a cop could call back. If I walk into the store and I buy something, I'm a customer. Parking for Whole Food customers only, I'm a Whole Food customer. You can't tell me.
You're not a customer when you're actually trying to get on Chicago Med. Jennifer's got your back, Harry. I'll put on one call that actually thinks that you're in the right.
Thank you. Out of the 12 that are up there.
Go ahead, Jennifer.
Hi, Harry. I'm completely on your side. My point being is if there's other stores in that same parking lot as Whole Foods, are you supposed to move your car every time you go to a different store? I mean, I could see if you were going to walk across the street or down the road, but I'm on your side here.
Wait. Say that again, Jennifer. My ADD kicked in. What's your defense?
If the Whole Foods that Harry is going to is in a parking lot that has other stores with it.
What happens if it's not? What happens if it's not?
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. If he was going to walk across the street to go to another store you got to move your car.
Right, right.
So but you're if not... it's one big parking lot and there's, you know, 10 stores in the parking lot or in that area.
So you don't have Harry's back here, Jennifer, at the end of the day.
I do. Not I really. Love Harry. Not... Oh, and my father's birthday is February 25th, so there you go.
Thank you, Jennifer. Whoa. Appreciate you.
Whoa, how about that?
See, she tried to defend you, but, like, didn't even defend you because there wasn't a CVS next door. It was just Whole Foods. Last one here. Dave.
Thank you, Jennifer, for your call. Keep listening to WGN.
Dave.
Hey, guys. You know, and you talk about people coming in from out of town and parking and wherever they want to. Look at it this way. Why do you think Lincoln Towing and Harry White Tidy Towing have been in business for all these years?
I am not a fan of the Lincoln Park Pirates.
Me neither.
Well, neither am I, but they've been in business because people park in lots like Whole Foods or other lots where the sign says, if you're not here, you're going to be gone.
Well,
and like I said, Lincoln Towing and Harry White Tiny Towing are going to take your car and go.
Harry White Tiny Towing, it's growing. Dave, Happy New Year, man.
Well, you know, tow trucks, okay?
Yeah.
Tow trucks would not know to go get me. I'm on the second floor inside a garage. This would have to be Whole Food calling
them
and saying, come and tow this guy away.
Yeah, they watched you walk into the store, buy your thing, walk out, head off to God knows wherever you're going and whenever you're going to come back. Hey, there's a guy in a Rams jersey with wearing 88. He's got the BMW up top there. Torrey Holt, sweet. Get that brand new
BMW.
I upgraded you. Get that car out of there.
Yeah.
You know, hey, all right, good talk. I think we learned something here, Harry. I don't actually know if we got through here. I just want you to own what you do. Star, to me, way, hey, tow away. The Lincoln Park Pirates are we. From Wilmette to Gary, there's none that's so hairy, and we always collect our fee. To me, way. Quick timeout. Troy Murray of your Blackhawks radio team will be with us right after the 5 o'clock news. Talk a little Blackhawks hockey, see if they can get things going. Last night went down to the Las Vegas Golden Knights, 720 WGN. So I thought this was like some big. Like, not about Lincoln Towing up on Lincoln by Foster. This is an actual song for that lot?
This is Steve Goodman.
I didn't know that.
This is the great Steve Goodman.
Love Steve Goodman. Go Cubs go all day long. I get it. I didn't know that he had a towing song. And that was, like, legit about Lincoln Park Towing, which is, like, the worst moment of your life.
Yeah. Lincoln Park Towing, this is a texter from the 708. Lincoln Park Towing was owned by Ross Cassio. He had a steel beam installed to total cars that crashed his front gate. He kept a blackjack and German Shepherd by his desk. Ugh. John Drummond from Channel 2 wrote about him in his book.
John Drummond was the greatest reporter ever.
Remember how upset he got after the Bears lost to the Redskins? He was trying to interview Bears fans that were, like, drinking and ticked off. Yeah, what do you think's going to happen?
These people won't leave me alone.
John Bulldog Drummond. My favorite newsman of all time is probably Bob Kessler.
Bob Kessler is
don't
incredible.
Put me up there next to Drummond.
Oh, why not? You think Drummond can tie his own bow tie? No.
Oh, I'm sure he could. He was old school.
The way that Drummond used to wear a trench coat, nobody did it like Drummond.
I remember there was the Reader, when they used to do these long articles, did a thing about him. And it was about how, I think he lived in Wilmette or something, and he always had his briefcase and extra pair of underwear.
Top five newscasters / reporters in the history of the city. Text line 312-981.
You've got to put Fahey Flynn on there if we're talking bow ties.
Yeah, that absolutely.
But Drummond always had the underwear in case he had got to go do a story, and it kept him away from home.
He had underwear?
Yeah. It's like a fresh pair, so he could change clothes.
Okay.
It's a little too much knowledge there, Bob.
It was a really good article in the Reader. There was much more than that, but that's one thing I remember.
Man. All right, so greatest reports of all time, Dave Jennings.
David Jennings
is pretty good.
Right there, no doubt. I'm talking TV newscasters that you watched growing up. This is Chicago's very. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, okay, this is really good.
I've got Drummond and Fahey Flynn so far.
I mean, Bill Curtis, Walter Jacobson, both a part of the station here, by the way. This is Chicago's very own Troy Murray coming up right after the break here with some Blackhawks talk. Hawks Got to get it going. Edmonton at the United Center tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, it's a 1:30 Chris Bowden pregame.
Vinny Hinostroza racing down the right wing. Put it in front. They score! Jonathan Toews on the back end. Another perfect feed by Hinostroza from the right circle over to the left. There was Toews to slap it home.
Sauter's been playing great. I think for myself, just trying to play similar to his game too and just be heavy on the puck and not give plays up and just protect it. And I think Vinny's just a smart player to find the empty areas and he's using his speed. So I think the three of us are working well together.
Jonathan Toews. Blackhawks did go down last night to the Las Vegas Golden Knights. Troy Murray, who also wore 19, a la Mr. Toews, joining us now on 720 WGN. Muzz, you know, your number's going to be hanging in the rafters one of these days. What do you think about like a split, like a little combo? I mean, the Cubs did that with Fergie Jenkins and Greg Maddux. I think I'm not even kidding. You should be up there, too, for all your contributions to the club. What do you think?
All I want on the bottom of it, where nobody else can see it, also worn by. That's
yeah, and
all I ask.
Dale Tallon will get up there too then.
Exactly.
Troy,
there's no doubt it's going up though at some point.
Right. Troy, the work you and John are doing along with Chris Bowden is at a higher level right now than my favorite hockey team, but I feel they'll come back. Before I start on the Hawks, I've never seen an expansion team dominate this league. I remember you're about my age, I'm about your age when the Blue Jays started in 77. You know, I always cheer for expansion teams. Vegas, how are they so good as an expansion team?
Well, first of all, George McPhee, the general manager, did a fantastic job of selecting the type of players for the team that he wanted to assemble under the head coach, Gerard Gallant, who's an excellent coach. You know, they don't have a young team because most of the guys that were left exposed that they picked were kind of in their mid-20s. They have a few veteran players. But all of these guys, and you saw a great example of it last night in the game against the Blackhawks, they're third, fourth-line type players, save for a couple of them. So they know how to play a 200-foot game. They're all very reliable in their own end of the ice. And they all, none of these guys were silver spoon players that were entitled something when they came into the NHL. All of their guys on that team were guys that earned the opportunity to play in the NHL. So they have a work ethic mentality that you don't see top to bottom on a lot of teams. And they just work hard. They bought into what the system is that Gerard Gallant is selling them. They work extremely hard to get pucks back. They challenge the net, and they're relentless. They do not stop from the opening puck drop until the last buzzer goes. They're one of the hardest working teams that I've seen in a long, long time. The question is for me is when it gets to the playoff atmosphere, when teams elevate their play, do they have enough skill to match up against some of the teams that will match their intensity and energy in a game going into the postseason? But they're good. They're legit.
Troy, when you're talking about their work ethic, there was a story in the paper in the Tribune Thursday morning about how Jonathan Toews woke up Wednesday morning in New York and he felt like a need for a sense of urgency, that the Blackhawks were actually in last place. You know, doesn't every hockey player wake up? Doesn't every professional athlete wake up every morning with a sense of urgency? Do you have to be in last place to have that?
Well, you know, to have that sense of urgency and to say it kicks in at this point, he was probably asked the question, you know, in some ways. But,
right.
You know, this year more so than others, you know, the Blackhawks, this is kind of unfamiliar territory where they are right now. And they've kind of just cruised through the season in the last 10 years because they've been so good and that core group has been so good. Well, you know, that's not the case this year. And I've been disappointed and I've said it on the broadcast at certain points this season that, you know, the Blackhawks are missing the point of what's going on here. This is not the old team and this is going to be a completely different animal as far as what the season's going to pan out like. And, you know, now they're finding themselves in a tough position. They're going to have a real strong second half to put themselves back into the postseason again. And it's not going to be easy. So there better be some urgency. I mean, you haven't quite reached the halfway point, so there's a lot of games left. But you can't kind of fumble around this mediocrity level that they've been, win some, lose some, all season long up to this point, and expect to get into the postseason. So they better have some urgency. And, you know, if you're motivated by the standings, well, you're at the bottom of them right now in the Central Division, so that should help.
Yep, Hawks with 44 points, one back of Colorado. Still within striking distance, but obviously, as you're saying, Muzz, like a lot of work to do here. Troy Murray with us on 720 WGN. I mean, do you think this is just the product of three Stanley Cups, two Olympics, the core of the team getting older? I mean, everybody used to be much faster, and now you're going up against teams that are just flat out faster than the Blackhawks. So the Hawks have slowed down. I mean, at the root of it, is that what you're seeing?
Well, you know, Mark, I agree with that, and yes. I mean, you know, this is not the team that won the Stanley Cup in 2015, and attrition, obviously, because of the salary cap and the restrictions that they have, you are deservedly so rewarded for, you know, winning championships. But, you know, taking care of that core group of guys has put them in a situation where, you know, each and every year they're right up against the cap, and they have to try and figure in how they structure everybody else in. Everybody else has been getting better. You know, Chicago's done an excellent job, and Stan Bowman's done an excellent job within the constraints and confines that he has. But the reality is the NHL wanted a parity, and they've got it, and the Blackhawks are still the Chicago Blackhawks, and every team that plays the Blackhawks brings an A-game mentality to the table. And, you know, the Blackhawks, you know, they're not as quick overall as a group. They're not as skilled overall as they have been in the past. You know, even losing a guy like Marian Hossa this season, that's a big loss. And you lose Nicholas Jalmerson. You have to find ways to fill it, but, you know, the voids of these core players that have been such a big part of this franchise, and you fill in with younger guys who have a little bit less inexperience. So it's a struggle. And I think that it's been hard for the Blackhawks to get a grasp on the fact that the way that they're going to win hockey games now is not by dominating teams with their skill. It's going to be by outworking them. And they haven't had that 60-minute mentality that you saw from the Las Vegas Golden Knights. There have been bad periods. There's been bad starts that Quenneville has harped upon all season long. You know, this team simply is not as deep, is not as experienced as it has been in the past. And they have to play a different type of game with a different type of mentality if they want to get into the postseason. And up to this point, we've seen it in spurts, but it's been disappointing that the consistency that you're looking for as far as a baseline effort through 60 minutes hasn't been there as much as Joel Quenneville would like it to be.
Troy Murray, 720 WGN, Mark Harmon and Harry Tynowitz. Troy, I want to pat myself on the back here. I'm borderline hockey genius right now because I, you know, on my prep to talk to you today.
Let's not celebrate early there.
Yeah, no, there was some little bit of tongue in cheek there. But I did write down, like, how much are they missing the leadership and the two-way play of Marian Hossa and the lockdown defense of Jalmerson, and you just called it out right there. So obviously you think that both of those have been huge.
Well, I think so. I mean, you know, they're great players, and they're, you know, in my mind, they're two guys that are going to go down as two of the best players in the history of this franchise. Jalmerson was one of those guys that you could put him out in all situations and you knew, and Joel counted heavily on him to, you know, supply that defensive job on the penalty killing, important minutes, critical points of hockey games. You'd have Nicholas Jalmerson out there along with Duncan Keith and Brent Seabrook. So you lose one piece of that triangle on the blue line there. And for Marian Hossa, still as good as he was, probably one of the more underrated players in his time in the NHL. You just didn't realize or don't realize how good of a player he was at all areas of the ice. The defensive game was spectacular. The way that he tracked pucks down, his leadership role inside the locker room, not a vocal guy, but just the way that he trained, how good a shape he came in and how his preparation was, is something that is lost inside the locker room. And that experience, you know, has to be absorbed by some younger guys that are, you know, sooner or later you hope to put them in the same mold or get them up near that same level, but they're not there right now.
Troy, it was great seeing Sharpie get, you know, net the game winner in Madison Square Garden the other night. Sharp is beloved in this town. Brandon Saad grew a big fan base before he went to Columbus and now came back. Are you surprised that the Hawks aren't getting more production from Saad and Sharp?
Well, I think you can ask them directly and say that, you know, they're not having the type of seasons that they would hope to. I'm not going to, you know, sit here and say that, you know, they're not performing, but what was ex- expected from them coming in was a higher level. And, you know, for Patrick Sharp as a healthy scratch sometimes, I'm sure that doesn't sit well. And I'll give Patrick a lot of credit because he's worked extremely hard when he hasn't been in the lineup to give him the best opportunity to succeed when he gets that chance. And, you know, hopefully for him, goals in two straight games kind of spurs him to, you know, picking up that level that the Blackhawks were hoping for when he was brought back into the fold. And with Brandon Saad, you know, there's been some real inconsistent times with Jonathan Toews, who, you know, they need both of those guys, not just in particular Brandon Saad, but Jonathan Toews as well, who those guys have both three-game point streaks going now, along with Vinny Hinnestrosa, who's got points in four straight games. So hopefully things are turning around in the right direction. But that line, you know, you've been pretty constant with Patrick Kane, who's been the most, you know, the best forward for the Blackhawks all season long, the most consistent forward. But he's going to need a lot of help down the stretch because you can always focus on Patrick Kane. And if you don't have those other layers of scoring that you thought you were going to get when Brandon Saad was brought into the equation along with Jonathan Toews, those guys have to have some real strong second half of the season.
Blackhawks at Edmonton Oilers tomorrow, 1:30 pregame, 2 o'clock the puck drop with Chris Bowden on the pregame with Troy, and then, of course, John and Troy on the broadcast. Hey, Troy, what's going on with Richard Panik? He's you know, got the money in the offseason, and the work ethic I'm sure is there, but hasn't been on the ice a bunch of times now with just not active. What do you see going on?
Well, I think yesterday was a big step in the right direction, and it looks like Joel Quenneville will make John Hayden a healthy scratch in the game tomorrow against the Oilers. You know, if Richard Panik doesn't bring offense to the table, he's got to do something to help the team. And in the game last night, he was very noticeable. He had 6 hits in that game. And, you know, he does have that element of physicality. He's a big guy. And if you're not scoring, you better bring some of that to the table. And I think Joel Quenneville saw enough in that from him last night that he's going to get another opportunity, albeit down on a line with Tommy Wingles and Lance Boma. So he's not going to slot in with Jonathan Toews or in the top you know, three lines mix it, which you like to see. Admittedly, he said, you know, I wanted to come in here and build off what I did last year, and his 22 goals picked up a real nice contract. And I don't think anybody, Stan Bowman, Joel Quenneville, or even Richard Panik himself would think that he would struggle as much as he has in this season. Started off good, 26 games now when he's been in the lineup that he hasn't scored a goal. So, you know, hopefully he finds, you know, some kind of excitement in his game going forward here, because the Blackhawks counted heavily on him in a top six role, and you know, now you're finding him as a healthy scratch as well. So you know, when I look at guys who struggle to put the puck in the back of the net, if it gets inside their brain, they get a little bit messed up and they start squeezing their stick and forcing it too much. You just have to simplify the game. And for Richard Panik, it starts with being physical. If he's physical, it'll get himself mentally involved in the game, and hopefully he can start scoring some goals and finding some confidence at that side. But you just simplify the game, get pucks to the net, stick around the front of the net, and hope you get something to go off your backside or a rebound and build from there.
Hey, Troy, I'm so glad you brought up that fourth line. You know, Tommy Wingles has been terrific, and even though he didn't score on it last night, he corralled a puck when they were on that first penalty kill and made a really nice move and almost got the puck past Subban for a goal. You were part of one of the greatest line names ever, the Clydesdales. You, Kurt Frazier, the great Eddie Olczyk, were the Clydesdales. I have a line for when Hayden and Boma and Wingles play. I have a name. Tell me what you think. It's kind of stupid, but this is my world. So Boma's 17 and Hayden is 40. If you add them up, they're 57, which is the number Wingles wears. It's the equation line. Huh? Huh? Do anything for you?
Jeez.
Harry, you're killing me. You're killing me, Smalls.
All right.
The equation line. Harry Tynowitz. Yeah. That could be the key to, you know, the resurrection of this show.
If we have to throw that out there and everybody starts trying to figure it out and to explain it, it might be a little difficult.
if you can't
add like me.
This is a little tongue in cheek, Troy, but maybe there's also something to it. Like last week, we were talking about the Bulls, and I believe that your adding is actually better than your math skills are better than you're letting on. And people are saying, hey, maybe we can get Bobby Portis to go over to Blackhawks practice and punch someone to you know, stir some things up. Do we need something like that to I don't know, ratchet it up? Do we need some drama? What do you think?
Well, I liked what I saw from John Hayden in the game last night. You know, he realized that the Blackhawks just went down 3-1, and he picked a fight with a defenseman from Vegas called named Lucas Pisa, and right after that, the Blackhawks scored a couple goals. So I think that, you know, Hayden read the situation the way that he should, and I give credit to Pisa for, you know, a lot of times when you issue that challenge in today's game, a lot of players, we're up two goals, we're not going to, you know, give you any life, any momentum. That fourth line is done exactly what they have been expected to all season long. They're physical every time that they're out on the ice. Very seldom does that line get outworked. John Hayden is a big physical guy, and he's played that way all season long. So I don't think that you need a whole lot more than that. I would like to see more guys get involved on the physical side of it, but sometimes a team's just not structured like that, and players aren't built like that, and that's not their mentality.
Yeah, that line's been really good all year, that equation line.
If I use that tomorrow, I'm going to throw it all on you.
I'll be listening.
The whole game.
Just waiting for it.
With both ears. Troy, always great to have you. We'll listen to you tomorrow. You're the best, and hopefully the Blackhawks will get rolling here.
Mark, Harry, thanks for having me on, guys. Always appreciate it.
Thanks, Troy.
Troy Murray, the great awesome. Number 19. And if you want to follow Troy on Twitter, as you should, that would be @Muzz19. Thank you very much. Harry, great idea by you. The equation line. You don't get that anywhere else. Coming January 20th, Pat Tomasulo of WGN Morning News gets his own comedy show. Saturday nights in Chicago will never be the same. Man of the People premieres January the 20th on WGN-TV.
I bet that's really good. Pat's very, very funny. I hope Mike Toomey's involved in some way. I have Jeff Hoover, who produces the morning show. I bet that's a pretty good show there.
Pat doesn't have any talent. I can't see that working. He doesn't know what he's doing. Guy's got no natural ability. He doesn't work hard. All of it. Yeah. No, I think that show's going to be a great success, and best of luck to Pat. He's awesome. Quick timeout, 720 WGN. WGN, we're going to hear from the Hall of Fame running back LaDainian Tomlinson after 5:30. Gordon Whittemeyer of your Chicago Sun-Times, Jake Arrieta coming back to the Cubs at 6:10. Quick question. I have a season ticket to the Cubs where I am sort of the overseer of the seats, and my rich friends actually buy them and attend.
You're in a good spot, though.
Right. And so here's a question
for you. You're the proxy.
Yes. Here's the question for you, 312-981-7200 that I'm struggling with. We used to have great seats in Section 19 right behind home plate, and then they turned those seats into a club, and the seats quadrupled. So we are not a corporation. We are people. We could not afford that. So last year they gave us the option to move back into the field boxes about 15 rows back from where we were, or to go all the way down the line to the corner. So we went back into the field boxes. Now, this year, was hoping to get moved back up if people dropped out. Didn't happen. But they are offering us Section 8, Row 3. So Section 8, Row 3 is down the line, three rows from the field, past the infield.
Third base side.
Third base side, which is in the shade most of the year. So it's a little chilly when it's cold, but beautiful on a summer day when it's you don't want to be in the sun. Do you go third row from the field down the line, just past the dirt left field side, or do you go field box 15 rows back behind home plate, 312-981-7200 text line? Where would you rather sit? Harry and I have been debating it in the time, in the old commercial break. I've been debating it ad nauseum with myself. So I'd like some help.
Well, we will touch on it, because I think there's a different answer for one game than there is for season tickets.
Okay. You, really?
Yes. So yes.
So you think it's better to go down the line and be close for one game, but if you had the whole season, you'd rather be behind on play?
Right. If I got offered, if Crane Kenny called me and said, hey, you know, you guys talk about the Cubs a lot, want to give you four tickets to the game, where would you like to sit? One game? I would sit third row. It's so cool to be that close to the field. Three rows out the field, that's great. Just by third base, that's great. But for the season, Carm, you got to be behind home plate. You're taking it all in. Those turn into playoff tickets. Think about that. You got the playoffs right in front of you.
Leo texting, and I'd rather sit at Guaranteed Rate Field anywhere. Good for you. Good for you, Leo. I respect that. Go White Sox, baby. I got nothing wrong with that text. All right, 5:30. LT, the Hall of Famer, coming up after the news. .720 WGN. We might need a clarification. NFL playoffs are going on right now. The Chiefs in Tennessee, Kansas City leading 21-9, extra point pending. Marcus Mariota just threw a pass. It was batted up in the air, and then he caught it himself. So is that a pass completion to yourself? Touchdown? Does he get?
It's definitely a completion. He definitely gets the completion. So I want to argue that he would get.
Is that a reception? I think it is.
I think he just had a touchdown pass and a touchdown catch on the same play. But I'm going to text the commissioner and find out.
Has that ever happened before in the history of sports? By the way, Harry Tynowitz is still playing fantasy football because he loves fantasy football and perhaps loves gambling a little bit too much. And you have
fantasy actually replaces gambling for me.
Oh, well, great.
The rush that I would get from gambling, I am able to finally funnel it into fantasy. So
you have Mariota.
Yeah. So the way, my main quarterback, you know, is going to be Brady, but I have Mariota this weekend because Brady's not playing. Fantasy football, most people, they're in a league that ends in week 16. Our league, and I believe it's brilliant, we have 5 of the 12 teams make the playoffs, the two top division winners, the next three best records, and you can keep anybody that's on your roster, and then you draft all these other players that have become available. So we're still playing is the point, and it goes till Super Bowl Sunday, and it's great. But without going into specifics, we're just wondering, if you throw a pass that gets batted by a defender, you catch it, it's legal. He just got a touchdown. They just kicked the extra point. Wouldn't he get a touchdown and a touchdown reception, touchdown pass and reception for that?
I'll check Twitter. You can follow me at the Carm. If you follow me, I fall in love with you. I'll double check, see what they're saying. All right. Let us move on to the Hall of Famer, LaDainian Tomlinson. Of course, starred with the Chargers and then was a Jet for a minute. Later tonight, your second playoff game is the Los Angeles Rams hosting the Atlanta Falcons. So the Chargers nearly made the playoffs, but they started too slow this year, and they're both trying to sort of carve out a niche in that L.A. market. The Rams are expecting a huge crowd tonight. The Chargers drew nothing all season long, playing in 30,000-seat soccer stadium. So, hey, LT, do you think there's an actual rivalry going on here with the Rams and the Chargers in football in L.A.?
Yeah, sure. You without question, pay attention to what the Rams are doing. And I think there's natural competition, right? I mean, when you have two teams in the same market, you know, in a way, you are sort of vying for, you know, that fan base of who the fans are going to support the most, which, you know, in L.A. it sounds crazy because they have enough fans there to support both franchises. But without question, I think just, you know, kind of subconsciously, you're going to pay attention to the crosstown team and what they're doing.
Let me ask you about Anthony Lynn. And you, of course, played for him with the Jets when he was an assistant head coach and the running back coach. And I guess he was talking to you earlier in the year, hey, LT, don't worry, this team's going to get it going. What impressed you about Anthony this year?
Well, he never flinches. You know, he's a guy that stays even keel. He never gets two up or two down. But he's an excellent football coach. And what that means is he's able to coach a number of positions, coach every guy. He's not a guy to focus on offense or defense or special teams. No, he's involved in every aspect of the football game. A great communicator, great motivator. And he's a young coach, so he's going to continue to get better as time evolves, as he has a bit more understanding of being a head coach. Certainly, I'm optimistic about his future and what he provides for our organization because he's a really good up-and-coming coach.
Now, LT, I don't know if you know this stat, but I'm going to give it to you here. Since 2000, right, there's four running backs who have won the MVP. Can you name them? First off, let's put you on the spot.
I can.
Okay.
I can. Marshall Faulk.
Bing.
Sean Alexander.
Bang.
Myself.
Uh-huh.
And Adrian Peterson.
That's right. Look at you, Mr. NFL. You're on top of your game. Now, I'm looking for number five this year. Doesn't Todd Gurley deserve it? What do you think?
I think he definitely deserves to be a strong candidate and in contention for it. I'm afraid that he's going to come up a little short because, I mean, you think about the history of this award being given to running backs, right? All the running backs that I just mentioned broke records or came close to breaking record, went for 2,000 yards and almost set a single-season rushing record. That would be Adrian Peterson. And so, you know, I think that's the criteria if you want to win it as a running back.
Right. Okay, but he's over 2,000. He's got 19 touchdowns. I mean, I guess it's going to Tom Brady, but, you know, I want to have a little more respect for your position, and particularly with you know what the Rams have done.
I know. Trust me. I know, man. I want to as well, but I just know the history of the voters and how they think. You know, this is a quarterback award until it's not. Meaning, you have to really get their attention with doing something that has never been done before.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. What's your thoughts on the Patriots ESPN report today with Brady and Belichick and Robert Kraft perhaps not being on the same page? It seems pretty accurate to me that something like this could be going on. I mean, we've seen Aaron Rodgers replace Brett Favre in Green Bay, right? I mean, we've seen Steve Young replace Joe Montana in San Francisco. I mean, these things, that's what happens in the game of football. Eventually, somebody young is going to be behind you, and they will take your spot.
Yeah, but the problem here, they let the guy that was supposed to take his spot go out to San Francisco, to the West Coast, you know. But, here's the thing. As you mentioned, this happens all the time. It happens in every organization. I think what's a bit surprising is the fact that in New England, they're able to, like, keep everything under wraps. You know, everybody is so measured when they talk to the media. I mean, think about it. Whenever we hear guys from the Patriots talk, they all sound the same, all of them. And I think that's because of Bill Belichick. And so the fact that all of these things are coming to light, it's a bit ironic, you know, but I think that signals that this is the beginning of the end for them. I really believe that next year might look different for the New England Patriots.
Who do you think is worth more on the open market? Like if the Patriots were going to try to trade Bill Belichick, or they're going to try to trade Tom Brady, who do you think's worth more? Because, I mean, John Gruden was worth four picks when he went to Tampa from Oakland, right? I mean, people having Bill Belichick running their organization, I would think that'd be pretty damn attractive.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's Bill Belichick simply because he has more years left in the National Football League. You know, Bill is only 60-something. You know, he can coach for another 10 years, possibly. And, you know, Tom Brady is over 40. He's only going to play the quarterback position for another 2 years maybe. And then you have to find another guy. And so without question, what Bill Belichick can bring to an organization, even beyond coaching, his ability to pick players, to develop players, that's what he's been so good at. So I think he adds more value.
Hey, last one for you. We got Drew Brees in the playoffs. The Chargers are not there, but Phillip Rivers, your guy, is still going. And here you are in the Hall of Fame and talking to us right now and doing media, the whole thing. Are you kind of like, do you scratch your head at all looking like, wow, I play with these guys and they're still going? Do you get a little jealous?
I don't get jealous because, you know, I'm happy to be done and to not have to go out there and get hit anymore. You know, I can watch those guys get hit. And, you know, I cringe sometimes when I see them get here, and I'm like, man, you know, I'm those are my boys, but I'm glad I don't have to go through that anymore. But it's fun, man. It's fun to watch him. You know, it's fun to watch Drew Brees out there doing his thing, and Phillip and Antonio Gates and those guys, man. It's it was a pleasure playing with them, but brother, I don't miss it.
So okay, that gives me one more question then. As far as player safety goes and, you know, recommending playing the game to kids, I mean, where do you come out on that with everything you had to put your body through?
No, I mean, it's a great game. If I had to do it again, I would certainly do it again. You know, if my son wanted to play, which he plays flag football now, he's seven, you know, that's kind of the beginning stages, and he wants to move up eventually and play tackle, I'm going to let him play tackle. You know, football is a great game, and it teaches you a lot about working with a team and, you know, accepting and dealing with success and failure. So to me, the pros certainly outweigh the cons. And so without question, I would be okay with my son playing.
LT, LaDainian Tomlinson, the Hall of Famer. Talked to him earlier in the week. Harry, by the way, you can check out my podcast On The Mark, which is available on iTunes. Really appreciate if anybody would subscribe. Give me a 5-star rating. Do not crush me. We're trying to grow. I don't think LT's actually been posted quite yet. You ever listen to the On The Mark podcast there, Harry?
You run the risk, though, when you invite people, they might crush you.
Nah, everybody loves me.
Hey, you know what? It's okay. As long as they spell the name right, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
I used to think there was no such thing as bad press, but yeah. I don't think that anymore.
So, LT thinks the beginning of the end for New England, man. The beginning of the end.
You know, in every sport, I root against the New York teams. It's maybe because I grew up against Chicago, you know, grew up in Chicago. Maybe it's because I'm an American who doesn't live in New York. But when I was a little kid, the Yankees bought championships. That wasn't right. Nothing has changed. And there was something very obnoxious about the Knicks. And then the Knicks and Patrick Ewing, you know, that was all fixed. I really believe that was a fixed lottery win for the Knicks.
I don't, but
and,
okay.
And they were the Bulls' archenemy. And, you know, I guess the Rangers would be like a team I don't have that much angst for. But in football, the Patriots have taken the place. They have supplanted the New York teams. I have angst towards the Patriots. They are so arrogant and pompous. And I think Kraft is classy. I think he's a wonderful owner. I think it starts with Belichick. You know, and Brady, not only is he the greatest quarterback, but he's got like this supermodel wife. Not that, you know, any of us would trade wives with him, but there's such an arrogance to New England. I hope it's the beginning of the end for them.
So do I. And but to your New York point,
yeah,
I have been to Madison Square Garden.
It's fantastic, isn't it?
It's fantastic.
It's so exciting.
It's a great, great place. I've seen the Rangers play. I've seen the Knicks play.
I've seen the Rangers, the Knicks, and I got to go there for Big Ten tournament.
Okay, I've never been there for
basketball, college hoops,
Big Ten tournament.
I'm sorry, the Big East.
I was going to say,
like, I lied.
The Big Ten's going to be there this year.
Yeah, like, right. The Big East.
Which that reminds me, fingers crossed and wishing for good things for Northwestern, but. This has been an incredibly
bad start.
Bad start and disappointing year, and hopefully they can turn it around. Lost last night at Penn State with Ryan McIntosh playing, and then lost earlier in the week at home to Nebraska.
Maybe because of the travel.
Whatever the excuses are, it's just been ugly. But and I've been to Giant Stadium.
Yeah, I've been there.
And
you just reminded me how much I hate Jason Sehorn.
I had a great time seeing the football Giants play. Saw them play RG3 in the Redskins. It was a great game.
That's a good game.
It was a great game. I've also been to new Yankee Stadium, never to the old one.
Oh, see, I've been to the old Yankee and I've been to Shea. I've never been to either of the new fields.
The whole point of me bringing this all up was just to point out that new Yankee Stadium stinks. Place sucks. Place sucks.
Well, there's all those seats that are $7,000 a piece. They're always empty.
It is the most antiseptic, overrated, not a place that at all. Nothing. That's why I wanted to bring up that whole thing. I'll give New York credit. Madison Square Garden, amazing. New York City, phenomenal place to visit for a weekend. Love going. U.S. Open, my favorite sporting event that I go to all year. Yeah. Love it. Yankee Stadium, horrendous.
Okay, New York City, Broadway. Broadway is spectacular. Broadway is just so cool. Central Park is phenomenal.
Amazing.
Belmont Park on Belmont Day is great. But the attitude of New Yorkers, you know, I know some individuals from New York that are great, that are just fabulous people. But, you know, I went to a Cubs-Mets game, and the Cubs were losing the whole game, 3-0, and the Cubs got 8 runs in the 8th inning. And New Yorkers started beating up each other. It was horrible. I was worried for my date.
J.G. Mellon's best burger I've ever had, 3rd and 74th, 5th, 6th, something in there. For the record. Hey, Andy, real fast, do you want to talk about the New England fans? Go ahead, buddy.
Harry, you're so wrong. It's pathetic.
Tell me.
I'm going to tell you why. And in the NFL, there's a hard cap. It means every team gets to use the same thing. In baseball, the Yankees can use $300 million on their salary caps.
Right.
All they have to do is pay the extra taxes. That's all they have to do. And the Yankees can afford it because of their cable network and because of the amount they're charging it.
Bottom line, and Andy,
I'm going to tell you, how many people on that New England offensive team are going to go to the Hall of Fame besides Brady? You cannot name one wide receiver is going to go to Hall of Fame that was in his prime that played for New England.
Okay, but I'm not talking about the talent. You're absolutely right about how the money
the
works.
The talent is a bunch of nobodies, and Belichick makes him into a somebody.
But don't you think? But Andy, don't you think that Belichick has an arrogance to him? Don't you think?
No, he doesn't. That's the way he conducts. You know what? He takes a nobody that nobody wants, and he turns him into a somebody.
Andy,
and you know what?
Andy, let me ask you a question. When Bill Belichick, of course, he denies it, but when they tape another team practicing illegally, what do you think about that, Andy? Is that cool?
I think it's the same as somebody going to the theater and getting a repo without supposedly getting a repo.
Excuse me? Say that again. What is it? A repo?
It's just like cheating. When you go to McDonald's, you get a cup of water and you refill it.
Oh, refill. Refill. Okay, right. So you're saying like it's going into, you're going into Chipotle, you say that can I just get a cup for water, and then you're going for the Diet Coke.
You did it.
Oh yeah, okay. So hold on a second.
Thank you a lot, Carmen, by the way.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Andy.
But Russell is still the greatest ever to land and the greatest basketball player. More rings than fingers.
Bill Russell. You're going in the way back machine, and of course he was a player coach.
He's got more rings than fingers. He kicked Wolf's ass in the Olympics. He did it in an NBA. He did it every time, except maybe once in 69, in seven games.
Andy, right. I appreciate you. If you're talking Bill Russell and everything you're talking, you should read Sam Smith's book, Hard Labor. It's outstanding.
If Andy had brought up...
Can you send me one?
No, but Amazon will, and they're not that expensive, and Sam would appreciate it.
Well, I'm pretty sure he dropped a couple at your place when he was there to promote it not long ago.
Yeah, I wish
I was listening to him.
I wish he had, but he did not.
You mean Sam is that cheap?
I didn't... He wasn't here.
I used to buy the Sunday Tribune just to read Sam, by the way. I used to buy the Tribune just to read Sam on Sundays.
Andy?
A lot of reasons to buy it now.
You need to call more often, Andy. Appreciate you.
Pete Sampras is the best tennis player to live.
Oh, my God, Andy. We are really on it.
Andy, Pete Sampras is the most boring superstar athlete in the last quarter of a century.
Ivan Lendl, by the way.
Pete Sampras killed the sport of tennis.
Ivan Lendl is the worst.
Ivan Lendl had a
personality. Ivan Lendl is the pits.
You gonna let me talk? Ivan Lendl had a personality. Ivan Lendl was fun.
With his German Shepherds, not with his tennis court.
Andy, you gotta let me finish, man. Okay,
sorry, sir.
Pete, you don't have to call me sir. I'm Harry. Sampras.
Okay. Hi, Harry.
Andy, love you. Appreciate you, brother. What were you gonna say about Pete Sampras?
Carm, Pete Sampras is so dull. Toast is more exciting. Pete Sampras killed your sport. He set your sport back. If not for the Serena Venus Williams sister combination, your sport would just be like, oh my God, I can't watch it ever again. But Pete Sampras, who was the greatest on the court, was the absolute dullest, driest, most terrible interview I've ever seen in sports.
I can't believe that on January the 6th at 5:53, I actually get to talk tennis right now, and I didn't bring it up, so thank you, Andy, for that. Ivan Lendl, if we're doing this for a minute, Ivan Lendl was phenomenal because he was a villain, and you got to got to watch him against Jimmy Connors.
He was Darth Vader.
Yes, he was. That's exactly what he was, and he was, you know, he was the guy that never spoke. He was a complete robot. He was, in essence, Darth Vader.
I heard him speak. He was funny.
And Ivan Lendl is a great man. I love Ivan Lendl.
Yeah.
And he's certainly enjoying his retirement as far as the eating is going. He's put on a lot of weight, but which is totally fine.
Like Greg Maddux's retirement?
Well, that's a good one, too.
The only plate Greg Maddux is working now is the buffet at the Golden Corral.
And God bless him.
I want to tell you.
Did you see what I put on my Facebook this week on Andy Murray?
Andy Murray?
Yes.
I did not.
So let me read it for you, Harry.
Yes.
And this is very cool. Andy Murray's one of the top four players in tennis, Grand Slam champion. He writes, "Hey, everyone, just wanted to write a little message on here for anyone interested in knowing what's going on for me. First of all, I want to apologize to at Brisbane Tennis for withdrawing at late notice and to everyone who wanted to come along and see me play." That was the Australian Open, which, by the way, Serena Williams just pulled out of. She won it last year.
She pulled out because
She's not ready to play quite yet, coming off of giving birth.
Delivery. Right. Like, I don't think anybody could be upset with her.
So Andy Murray's got a bad hip. He continues on here. "I've obviously been going through a really difficult period with my hip for a long time. I've sought counsel from a number of hip specialists." And he goes into all that. And he says, obviously, so he goes into his rehab. "Obviously, continuing rehab is one option and giving my hip more time to recover. Surgery is also an option, but the chances of a successful outcome are not as high as I would like. Yada, da, 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 da." He has a picture up. "I chose this pick." This is the point of this, Harry. "I chose this pick as the little kid inside me just wants to play tennis and compete. I genuinely miss it so much and would give anything to be back out there. I didn't realize until these last few months just how much I love this game. Every time I wake up from sleeping or napping, I hope that it's better, and it's quite demoralizing when you get on the court and it's not at the level you need to compete at this level." So I just want to just call out there, we all have our issues and whatnot.
I just want to say, Andy, I hate it that you called and brought up tennis.
Yeah, and that's fine, but there's a lesson in here, Harry. We all have our ups and downs, our trials and tribulations. That little kid in you that just wants to go out and play and enjoy the day, connecting to that dude during your day is a huge thing. And the fact that Andy was bringing the little guy out, and just, he just wanted to go out and play, it brought a tear to my eye, Harry. Is it bringing one to yours right now?
No, but talking about tennis is close.
That's a great one. Hey, Gordon Whitmire, we'll not talk about tennis. We'll talk about Jake Arrieta, perhaps returning to the Cubs. That's after the 6 o'clock news, 720 WGN. This is
my kingdom come. This is now back to the beat.
720 WGN.
720 WGN, 605. Glad to have you along on a now Saturday evening. Mark Herman and Harry Tynowitz. The Cubs' pursuit of Jake Arrieta continues. We'll get there in a second with the Cubs' outstanding beat reporter for your Chicago Sun-Times, Gordon Whitmire, joining us. But I owe Gordon an apology, a very deep and serious apology here, Harry. I have known Gordon now for a while, and I believe I connected him with one of the great Cub fans out there. Gordon was looking for some activities in the off season, which included getting in shape and playing basketball. And Gordon, I believe, if correct me if I'm wrong here, but you have sustained an injury associating with this gentleman, and now your off season has been
on you.
What's that?
From associating with you.
Right? I mean, it's kind of my fault that if you wouldn't have met Ken if you hadn't met me, and now what's going on with your knee?
I blew it out playing my second day of basketball in 20 years.
Jeez. Gordon.
When your boy fell on me.
Yeah, I told it. Like, he told me.
Oh, wait. So I didn't know this part of the story, Gordon. Carmen made it sound like you, like, drove to the basket and something snapped. This guy just, like, jumped you for no reason?
Well, yeah, it was after I came down from above the hoop. And then he landed on me.
On the reverse?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, okay, let me just say this. Yeah. My buddy called me up, and he's like, "Hey, you know, I reached out to Gordon, and I don't even know how this whole thing started, but like, I reached out to Gordon to play basketball, and he said he would play." And I'm like, "I don't believe that. Gordon Whitmire is not showing up to play hoop with you. I don't think that's going on." And then, like, I saw him a month later. Yeah, Gordon came out. He had a good time. I think he's coming to play again. And then the next time I saw him, yeah, things aren't going that well for Gordon. Yeah. He's injured.
One MRI later.
Yeah, I didn't think you were going to do it. So are you going to be able to walk the ramp and cover the Cubs at Wrigley Field? I mean, what are we dealing with here?
Spring training's in 6 weeks.
Yeah,
right?
I got a fully blown ACL, a sprained MCL, and torn meniscus that's flipped underneath the knee. So they're going to just they said, you're too old to even worry about the ACL, so we'll just go in and fix the meniscus. So I'll do that at some point, probably in the next few weeks.
So you haven't had anything done yet?
Correct.
Oh, what, Carm, have you got a guy?
No, I'm staying out of that one. But it, so you're just, are you able to walk?
Yeah, surprisingly enough, after about 3 weeks, I mean, unless I really push it or go to lateral, make a lateral move or something, it feels almost normal.
Wow. Okay.
It's that meniscus.
And what?
That's what the doctor was saying. When it gets in a bad spot, it's a sharp pain.
And so,
otherwise, it's fine.
What actually happened on the play? I really actually do want to know.
Well, I mean, I was in the process of working my way up to being able to move with a little more agility. But at this point in my game, I went to turn to go back up on defense, and there was a little collision behind me, and Ken fell on my leg.
So terrible.
Glad you find it humorous, right, Carl.
Well, I'm sorry this happened,
yeah,
Gordon.
It wasn't too funny at the time, man.
No, I bet it hurt like hell and probably still does, and I'm sorry this happened, and I hope you heal quickly.
Career ending, man.
I know. I'm hearing
career
it.
Career ending.
The Windy City Bulls were interested.
This is terrible. Swimming and yoga, that's what's coming up for you. All right, here, let's talk Cubs, Gordon. What's going on with Jake Arrieta? Is he signing with the Cubs for 4 years and $110 million? What do you know?
I don't see that. I don't see that. That's why this market is in stall mode, even as we're got a full week into January now. This is starting to become almost a new normal in baseball. It's not unusual at all to see some of the higher-end free agents go into the new year. And now, especially when we got a new CBA with the comparatively low luxury tax levels, everybody, including the Yankees, seems to want to get below it. And then next year's free agent class is really good. So the guys at the top of this year's class are just hanging out there trying to get the classic contracts that we've seen in the last few years. But with nobody willing to commit like that with some of the other talent on the horizon. So you've got the Cubs with a major need for a starter, the Cardinals. The Nationals may get involved. They tend to spend, especially on Boris clients, which, of course, Jake is.
Mm-hmm.
And even the Brewers are in on this relatively deep end of the market. If the price stays around, you know, this idea of 4 years, 100, 110, the Brewers could be in that mix. And as it is, they're in the mix for the Alex Cobbs, who supposedly aren't going to be able to command the same that Arrieta or Darvish are. So there's this musical chairs that's still playing out. These guys don't want to settle, and believe me, Scott Boras and Arrieta will wait out some other players in this market before they accept a deal like that. They will not set a market price and sign, say, ahead of Darvish for a deal like that.
Boy, can you imagine if Arrieta went to the Brewers, what that would do for that?
What about the Cardinals?
How about the Cardinals?
That's,
the Cardinals are a real player for him.
Oh, God, don't
say
that.
They've been in touch with him since early on in this process.
I don't want to believe that. I mean, obviously he is, that's a possibility, and the Cubs lost Fowler there, but like the Brewers-Cubs series is a fun series. The Cubs-Cardinals series is like, you know, adversarial. I would hate it if Arrieta went there. I noticed you didn't mention the Dodgers. I've heard that Arrieta's always thought about pitching in L.A. in that ballpark where, of course, he had his first no-hitter. Anything possible there, Gordon?
Not as much. The Dodgers have obviously as much money as they want to spend. They're also talking, and who knows what it means when they talk about this stuff, because it hasn't meant anything in recent years, but they're talking about that luxury tax threshold too. So the dollars matter to them to some degree this year, and they actually have some depth for, you know, whatever you want to refer to as depth. They've got experienced starting pitchers, guys that have done it in the past that have been, you know, recent injury issues or performance issues, but they've got them in-house. They have choices. They don't have to go deep into this market if they don't want to, but they've got the muscle to jump in anytime they want. I don't see them as the biggest players. They don't seem to have the same kind of urgency as the teams that we're already talking about do.
Let's talk Little Wade Davis here, Gordon Whitmire of the Sun-Times with us here, 720 WGN. Where were the Cubs, if anywhere, with Wade? Were they willing to go 2 years, Gordon? And would you have given the price that Wade got in Colorado if you were the Cubs?
Well, let's put it this way. The Cubs were never going to do that. They don't do that. You know, Theo going all the way back to Jonathan Papelbon has not been one to pay heavy in long years for a closer. A 2 or 3 year deal, sure. He made $10 million last year. He was certainly going to make more than that. So, you know, a two at, you know, at 30, something like that, 28, 30, maybe with an option or three at 35. Yeah, but not a, I mean, Wade Davis is the highest paid free agent out there right now. What do you get, 4 and 52?
Yep.
So that's, you know, and that's fine. You know, good for him. That's great. He's earned it. He deserves it. I don't know that that's a great bet on the Rockies' part. He's had some little forearm things within the last 2 years. There were times when he went out there not physically at the top of his game last year, and that was a season in which right up until the end, his workload was managed pretty conservatively. So I'm not saying he's going to get hurt or anything like that. I'm just saying, given the age, given some of the recent track record, and given the length and the how big that contract is, that it may not be the best bet. And for what he does, you know, you can, if the theory is that you can find these guys, you can build these guys, and if you don't have one guy for the ninth, but you have other qualified matchup guys, that you can make that work. The other thing is, why spend that kind of money now when who knows who's going to be available at the deadline? Put yourself in position to be in the race, and you can go out and do what they did with Chapman, maybe not on that level. You know, Wade Davis was a one-year trade, too. So
right.
Those are the kinds of things that I would see them probably looking at. If they can't get the frontline starter they want, or if they get a deal in a trade that is payroll friendly, you might see him go back into the free agent market for a reliever. You know, Greg Holland's still out there, but after what Wade Davis got, I don't think Holland's price is going to be too appetizing to him.
All right, so I think we're all assuming, Gordon, at this point, Brandon Morrow would be the guy who'd be first up to be the closer for the Cubs.
Yeah.
And do you believe that come opening day that will be the case, or do you think that Theo and Jed are going to go out there and bring in another guy to be the closer?
I think there are so many balls in the air right now for the Cubs, but also for the market at large, free agent market and trade market at large. There's so many teams that still have things left to accomplish before spring training with just over a month to go, that there are a number of different directions the dominoes could fall. So if they fall in that direction, absolutely, they'll jump on it. Right now, I think they're prepared to go to spring training with the ninth inning covered in-house right now.
And, you know, getting back to if Arrieta went to the Cardinals, that could essentially be a trade. Lance Lynn is one of the most sought-after free agents. You know, we talked about Alex Cobb. Is there, like, anybody else you think the Cubs have on their radar, starting pitcher, that they'd really like to get in here if Arrieta goes and signs with another club?
Well, those are the guys. And Lance Lynn's a lot of teams' fallback right now, it seems. He's not getting the same buzz that Cobb, Darvish, and Arrieta are. In particular, Cobb and Darvish, but he's out there. He's the other guy in those top four, and yeah, he could well be in play. He's also going to be another guy that I think is going to see where the market sets. Darvish or Cobb might be the first to sign. I would bet Darvish is the first to sign. Where, I don't know. The Twins are. Have made him a priority. They've publicly said he's a priority. They still seem to be trying to set up a meeting with him, a sit down face to face, which could happen here at any time. And then that might be the last thing he needs before he starts getting into serious decision time.
Gordon Whitmire of the Chicago Sun-Times doing a phenomenal job covering the Cubs for how many years now, Gordon?
This will be 12 this year.
12 years. That's incredible. So how high do you think they're going to go for you? And you had a great piece, and I was been thinking and been saying the same thing. Like, if you compare Yu Darvish's numbers to Jake Arrieta's, Arrieta looks better. He's got less innings. He doesn't have Tommy John, although I think some scouts look at the fact that Darvish has had that as a plus because he's already been through the surgery and recovered. But their playoff performances, there's no comparison. I don't quite get it. Like, I know he's, okay, he ticked down in velocity, but the guy's doing yoga right now, and he's probably going to go into a Pilates after that, and he's eating kale. Like, if you're gonna bet on somebody, I mean, I'd feel comfortable betting on Arrieta.
Hey, I tell you what, everything between the ears and above the neck, I don't know who I would put above him. I mean, his competitiveness, his approach, his work ethic, his value in the clubhouse, those are all real and big. I mean, that's just huge. And he's got stuff. So you look at it, and you're right. I mean, that's one of the reasons that we see his performance, not just in the playoffs, being better than Darvish's, but against winning teams. So look in the last 3 years since he's made 30-plus starts for the Cubs. It might have been 29, 28, something like that this year because of the hamstring. But look at the times he's faced good teams, playoff-caliber teams, playoff-contending teams, or teams that actually made the playoffs. His record against those teams is better than Darvish's, too. So he does get up for the big game. We've seen that. He's extremely competitive. There are times when he gets out of his mechanics, his command is off. He'll be competing, he'll be in a game, he'll be keeping his team in it, but it'll be 8 hits and 100 pitches, 4 walks through 5 innings,
right.
and he's done. There are other times where he goes on a 2-month stretch, and he's pitching 6 or into the 7th, and he's got an ERA under 2. So you don't know what you're going to get. You're not going to get 2015 again. 2016 was a tick below. His velocity was an issue for part of last year, but he kind of reinvented himself. He really made his curveball a weapon to the degree that it wasn't before. So the guy is smart, too. Again, you can look at it from two different ways, and you can make your choice. And, I'll leave it to you. One thing, if you're Theo, and I don't know how much this comes into play, but you will never make a better deal for Arrieta than you've already done. You've won Arrieta so many times over already just because of how lopsided that trade turned out to be and the fact that it turned a franchise. They don't do anything close to what they've done the last few years without Arrieta being right in the middle of it. Starting in 15.
Gordon, at a different level, there's a bunch of people like myself that love Albert Elmora Jr., and I was shocked at how good John Jay was. Look in your crystal ball. I know they can't move Jason Hayward. Who's the Cubs' starting center fielder in 2018?
I think it's Elmora. I mean, before they, you're hearing all these rumors about trades Lorenzo Cain and things like that. But really, they've got to address their pitching. With the resources that they have to address starting pitching, and that's going to take up most of the resources they're willing to spend, whether it's in free agent money or player capital. If they're able to do that with enough room left over to really go aggressively after somebody else, they're certainly open to it. I mean, there's so many balls in the air industry-wide that a number of things could sort of fall their way. But what I predict, the way I see it going forward, is I would think Albert Elmora is going to get the first shot at nailing down an almost everyday job in center field. Madden, and he's going to mix and match and do that thing. And Elmora is still young. He won't play every day, but he should be in line to get a large chunk of playing time and get his opportunity this year. That's the way I see it. And really, he's a number 6 overall pick who, since he's been in the big leagues, has held his own and then some. He's been looking for an opportunity. Why would you go out and spend a bunch of money on somebody else before giving this guy a chance to establish himself.
It's the whole reason why they didn't sign Fowler. I
couldn't agree more. It's a no-brainer. The guy seems to do. I mean, he's a human highlight film defensively. He's terrific at running the bases, and the kid can hit. So it's a no-brainer to me.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, your bigger question is who's going to be leading off for you in the opener, and it's, you know, by default it might be Ben Zobrist at this point.
Right.
And who knows what position he'll be playing.
Could we get the Elton John version of Benny and the Jets instead of Zobrist's wife?
Oh, my God.
I was going to ask you who was leading off.
We'll just lead off Schwarber instead and solve the whole problem.
He's not going anywhere, is he, Kyle Schwarber?
I don't think so.
Yeah. Hey, Gordon, I believe we're running out of time here, but real quick, I believe Ken has called in, and I think he wants to apologize to you. Are you willing to hear an apology from Ken, perhaps?
If it comes with a couple of scotches.
All right, we'll see what he's got here. Ken, you injured Gordon Whittemeyer?
Yes, I did. And, Gordon, I really owe you an apology. But let me just set the scene real quickly. Okay, I was going up for a shot, and a guy about 30 years younger than me stuffed my shot, and I fell backward so horrendously into Gordon. But Gordon is such a trooper and gamer, he wanted to continue while everyone else is saying, no, go sit out. So Gordon continues to play. Finally, he sits out. And then, of course, we go to this local watering hole, which Gus owns. And he, by the way, Mark, he says, you're welcome back anytime there's a spot for you.
Thank you. Used to bartend there, Myers Tavern. Go ahead.
Right. And Gordon didn't even bother going to the hospital or anything. We went straight to the bar stool over at Myers. The two.
I found plenty of medication right there.
Exactly. And for the first time in ages, the lights went out on us, and they actually closed Myers while Gordon and I were still sipping down some scotches, or I think it was actually
Coca-Cola, Kenny. You were having Coca-Cola.
Coca-Cola, right, exactly, right. But anyways, Gordon, I owe you an apology, and anytime, like I've texted you before, you want to go out and meet me sometime. The guys, by the way, have been asking about how's Gordon and everything, and I told them about what happened, and they're just like in disbelief. They're shocked.
You're a beloved figure, yeah, Gordon.
I had no idea either. That's why I went back in the game.
Well, they can't wait for next year when you come back from that ACL, okay?
Thanks, Ken.
Thank you, Gordon and Mark.
All right, Ken. I'll see you at Myers.
Hey, if you're at Myers, you got to go tater tots. Gordon, Kermit's got a guy who wants to introduce you to get you to play some hockey next.
Yeah, okay. Hey, you know what? I still got some teeth left, so I got something to bring to the table there, yeah.
Well, what is your choice of scotch, by the way? I had a friend that told me if you're not drinking Glenfiddich, you're not drinking scotch. What, do you have a favorite?
Oh, no. Glenlivet.
Glenlivet over Glenfiddich. What about Glenn Becker?
Absolutely.
Hey, Gordon.
Back in the day.
We appreciate you for coming on, my friend, and heal up, and we're looking forward to reading you, of course, come spring training and all the off-season news. We'll see. A lot of stuff's probably going to be coming down next couple of weeks, you would think, right? I mean, it's
yeah,
are
absolutely.
We going
to... Yeah, it's got to.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Convention.
I would expect something in the next week with Cubs convention.
Yeah, they always have something exciting happen right before the convention.
Forgot about the convention coming up next weekend. All right. Hey, Gordon, appreciate you.
All right, Carm. Take care, guys.
All right.
Thanks, Gordon. Gordon. Terrific.
Gordon Whittemeyer, the man covering the Cubs for the Sun-Times. Love him. All right, quick timeout, 720 WGN.
Hey, I'm Nikola Mirotic. Welcome to my kitchen. Today we're going to start making some jelly and mayo. Now we have Oreos and orange juice, and I can bet you this tastes delicious.
This is maybe my favorite story of the week. Mark Harmon and Harry Tynowitz with you, 720 WGN. Nico Mirotic, Nico Miracle, hasn't been working out for the Bulls this week. Killing me.
Yeah, Chris Dunn was pretty good last night. But Nico's magic, they started, what'd they win? The first eight in a row when he came back?
Yeah, they lost the last three. Every single one of them has been close. They've been right there. They had a nice win last night on the road against Dallas, who's been playing good basketball, and they're back at it tonight versus Indiana. So, never say die. But I thought it was super interesting that everybody bought in. If you missed it, Nico's doing Nico's Kitchen, little Bulls promotion.
Right. It's along the same lines as Soup and a Sandwich last year for the Hawks.
Right. So they go Nico's Kitchen, which makes me think they're not trading Nikola Mirotic, even though there's a ton of rumors out there. You go Nico's Kitchen, marketing and the front office have got to be aligned, right? Maybe they're keeping Nico just because of Nico's Kitchen. But jelly and mayo, and I thought it was real.
Yeah, that was the sandwich that Nico was making.
Right, but it was all spoof. The Jump, which is hosted by Rachel Nichols on ESPN and Paul Pierce and Tracy McGrady, they thought it was real and tried out the jelly and mayo sandwich. The Bulls were forced to try it. Robin Lopez tried it. Zach LaVine tried it.
Robin Lopez's face is awesome.
Yeah, it's all hysterical, but it was all a spoof. I actually thought the dude ate mayo and jelly.
Because of O.J. Mayo.
That's not why, but sure, yes. So we're curious, 312-981-7200. What is something odd, what combo do you eat that is what you would consider delicious? I mean, I used to have as a kid.
What'd you eat?
Carmen family, we would do a cream cheese and jelly sandwich.
Well, cream cheese and jelly is a staple.
Does anybody eat that anymore?
Sure, that was something we had at our house. I think maybe that's, you know, before bagels were fast food, they were predominantly in delicatessens. And cream cheese and jelly, you know, especially like if you were eating lox and bagels, lox cream cheese and jelly and bagels. It's a little sloppy, but it's delicious.
Like, I think cream cheese and jelly is nasty.
Oh, cream cheese and jelly is fantastic. I might stop and get some. I might hit Bagels and Bialy's on Dempster on the way home.
And ask for a cream cheese and jelly?
Yeah.
They have that in the store.
No, I'd buy the bagels and the cream cheese. I'd go home and I'd cover it with jelly.
Okay. All right. I mean, that's one that comes to mind. I don't know. I feel like putting mustard on a burger and no ketchup is borderline sacrilegious, too, but that's still delicious.
And people still get mad at me that I put ketchup on hot dogs. Oh, you're not from Chicago. And I've only lived here my whole life. I just like ketchup on hot dogs instead of mustard.
847 texting an ice cream cone from McDonald's and french fries, a dip of the fry into the cone.
That's kind of the direction we're looking for. That's where we're headed. I get that. You know, like if I get like a fillet of fish, you know, or a whaler, if I've got tartar sauce on the plate, I will dip my chip or my fry in the tartar sauce as opposed to putting it in ketchup. Or if I have mayonnaise, I'll dip it in mayonnaise as opposed. But, like, I think the weirdest thing, Lef used to make fun of me. I like a chicken sandwich with mayonnaise on one side and ketchup on the other. Because I couldn't decide which is better, so I just put mayonnaise on one side, ketchup on the other.
Dip the mayo, have a bite, dip the ketchup.
No. I'm taking one side of the bread.
Mayo.
And I'm putting mayo. And for me, it's Miracle Whip. So Miracle Whip on one side, ketchup on the other, pour. And then in between, I got the sliced chicken, and it is just so yummy.
That sounds delicious, honestly.
It's delicious.
Sounds delicious. Sharon's texting in, liver, sausage. Hang on a second.
You can stop right there.
It sounds so gross. Liver, sausage, and grape jelly from Sharon. Sharon, I want to party with you.
Yeah, like in Stripes. Oh, you and your brother, I want to party with you.
Yeah. 847, peanut butter, banana, and mayo sandwich. Also, yellow mustard on a pizza. The yellow mustard on a pizza, I can sort of see.
How about the new craze? I shouldn't say new, but Hawaiian pizza? A lot of people are getting yelled at because they like Hawaiian pizza, ham and pineapple on a pizza.
Yes, pineapple does not belong on a pizza.
What about the guy in Australia? I can Google it and figure it out here, but there's a politician in Australia who got in trouble because he puts canned spaghetti on his pizza.
That sounds nasty, but I love spaghetti and I love pizza and I would eat it. I actually, it doesn't sound nasty at all. It sounds delicious. Real fast here, Michael has been waiting, and I should put this on because it says he's agreed with every hairy take today. That's a call that
we
need to talk to. Michael, did you call just because you love Harry so much and you wanted to tell him that?
I did. I got to start with him. I've been listening since about 4 o'clock, and I had to talk about the trophies for participants. Harry's absolutely right. It's a joke. We're making a generation of marshmallows with that stuff.
Right. For people that weren't here earlier, for people that haven't been listening to the whole show, like Michael, God bless you, Michael.
Yeah, Michael, why don't you recap for everybody what they missed on the show? We'll see how good you are.
Well, let's give trophies to the fifth place finishers, because they participated. Come on, there's winners, there's losers. That's life. That is life. I think we have to teach these kids what life is all about. It's not necessarily easy, and not everybody's a winner. And if you are a loser, then you work harder to be a winner. Right. I don't know, but I agree with Harry on that 100%.
What else did you agree with Harry on today, Michael?
Okay, I couldn't agree on the tow thing, because my own wife got towed out of the Jewel parking lot in downtown Arlington Heights, where we live, and parked in front of the sign that said, "You will be towed." So, you know, Arlington's got a lot of free parking. She parks in the one little Jewel lot and walks across the street to meet her girlfriends. And I'm sure before she had ordered her first drink that her car was being towed. And when we went to pick it up in Northbrook or somewhere, wherever it was at the time, they were laughing. They go, "Oh, yeah, I watched your wife pull in. I was in the tow truck on the other side of the lot. I watched her pull in and get out and walk away." So I got a bad experience there. So with Harry, I can't agree with that. But the Yankees and the Patriots, oh, man, you are spot on with both those teams. Yankees buying championships, and the Patriots are so arrogant. Like, whenever they play, I root against them. I'm just done with the Patriots.
So the moral of the story... Wait, hold on, Michael.
Maybe the greatest quarterback, but I'm done with it. You know? I agree with Harry.
The moral of the story here, Michael, you called up to say you agree with Harry on everything, but you don't agree with Harry on everything. You blatantly just went at his whole parking
ticket. Well, I did.
Yeah.
I did. Well, because I've lived it. It was $150 toll. Like,
and for people that weren't here, I had to park. I had to go to the Improv Olympic space yesterday, which is on Sheffield. Didn't see parking. I had a quick audition, so I parked at Whole Foods, where I was going to go get something to buy later, ran to my audition for 20 minutes, came back, bought a couple things in Whole Foods. Carm says I was stealing and I should have been towed. And a Chicago copper, nice enough to call in, and says I was trespassing.
Yeah, I was wrong. He wasn't stealing. He was trespassing. That's what it was. Michael?
Well, I cut Harry a little slack there.
All right, well, Michael, hold on. Now, we haven't given away Lou Mails all day, right?
We haven't.
This guy's listening, not just because he likes me today, most of my opinions, but 2 hours and 40 minutes of listening.
You enjoy a Lou Malnati's, Michael?
Oh, my God. My wife loves Lou Malnati's.
All right, my brother.
No idea.
Maybe she can get towed.
Huge.
Maybe she can get towed out of their lot one day.
I hope not.
She learned her lesson, right, Michael?
She learned her lesson.
There you go.
Yes, she did.
There
yes, she did.
All right. Thanks, Michael. Lou Malnati's for you. Talk to Dan Long. He will get your info.
Dan, how many Lou Mails are there in Chicago?
There are now 40-plus Chicagoland locations, and you can order online at loumalnatis.com for Chicago's best deep dish pizza.
There you go. Hey, all right, some ideas here for the Nikola Mirotic food line. Rye bread toasted with peanut butter and fried egg while folded like a taco for breakfast.
Whoa, that's out there.
Rye bread
and peanut butter,
fried egg. I'd eat that. Sounds delicious.
Mm.
Brian from Montana. My dad used to eat peanut butter and mayonnaise sandwiches. We used to put my aunt, the great Aunt Ev, she would make the bagel with cream cheese and put butter on there too, as if there wasn't enough fat going on.
Oh no, I don't like that.
It was delicious.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah, well, it wasn't bad. All right, and then what are they serving in Jacksonville, Harry?
This to me is goofy. So, you know, I mean, I love it. There's something, you know, unfortunately, when you grow up in Chicago, a Bears fan, you find things to do in the playoffs besides root for your favorite team. And the Bears haven't been going to the playoffs a lot, right? They have not gone for a long time to the playoffs.
7 straight years.
So, we have the Tennessee Titans today in the playoffs for the first time in a long time. Buffalo's in they ended the longest drought, you know, in the NFL. And the Jacksonville Jaguars are playing tomorrow for the first time in 11 years. It's been 11 years since the Jaguars have been in the playoffs. They are making...
Most expensive playoff ticket is in Jacksonville for Jacksonville
and
Buffalo.
Isn't that kind of crazy?
It is kind of crazy.
So, the Jaguars have turned their menu teal the jersey.
Turn their menu teal to match the jersey. By the way, what I meant by most expensive on the secondary market, what fans are paying for tickets, if that was confusing. Continue on here.
And the Jaguars also are opening up seats that have been canopied off all year.
Yep. They've 3,500 of them.
So the Jaguars are taking their normal food choices, and they are colored food dye turning them teal. And I don't know if I like this. So, like, if you get a burger tomorrow at the Jaguars game, the bun is going to be teal.
Mm-hmm. That sounds a little bit like it would feel moldy, perhaps. Not your standard bun beauty.
Right. The corned beef sandwich could be served on teal bread.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you know, the ice cream that, you know, instead of chocolate and vanilla, now they're putting in teal ice cream.
They're building a brand, man. They're letting everybody know that this Jacksonville for life. They're a playoff team now. They got a great defense.
I don't need the teal meal.
I get it, but they're trying to get you just all Jacksonville'd up.
Does that do anything for you? I'm showing Carm a mini helmet. Now, first of all, since I was a kid, and I'm in my 50s, I still love going to the Sox or the Cubs game and getting the ice cream in the helmet. That is so cool. And, of course, they have the nachos in the helmet at Sox games. That is awesome. I just got actually, I'll tell my kids. I go, you guys, this was Paul Konerko's helmet, and now we're eating nachos out of it.
See, that I can't relate to that. The Carmen family would never, ever, ever pay for the ice cream in the helmet.
Now, why not?
Papa Fred would never view that as a worthwhile expenditure.
Well, if you're in a grocery store and it's $6 more, I wouldn't do it. But if you're at the Cubs game or the Sox game, definitely you do
we
it.
We never went helmet ice cream.
How do you not go helmet, Cohen?
It just,
helmet ice cream.
Because you were paying up for the helmet. Didn't make sense. That's terrible, I know. But I didn't get to share in that.
Okay.
We had to rough it and get the standard waffle cone.
Speaking of roughing it, the one other story I found this week that I think is pretty interesting to people is Aaron Rodgers, who dated Olivia Munn, one of the smartest. I'm using the word smartest first. She's brilliant. Her dad was in the military. They moved around. Olivia Munn is the actress that was on the Jeff Daniels show, The Network. And she happens to be stunning. She's gorgeous. Fabulous face, fabulous figure. Olivia Munn and Aaron Rodgers were boyfriend and girlfriend for a long time. They broke up. Guess who Aaron Rodgers' new girlfriend might be now, Carm?
Who would that be?
Danica.
Really?
Danica Rodgers.
Are you serious?
Aaron and Danica.
Oh, my God. I love Danica.
Well, she's done racing, right?
Have you ever been to Danica's Instagram?
I have not been to Danica's Instagram.
Danica's Instagram is very strong.
Is it? Do we have some photos of her on
there? Doesn't she have a couple of more races this year before she calls it quits and hangs it up?
I am not sure, but I appreciate you letting me know that.
Okay. I think she does have a couple of races still to run this year. Then she'll be done.
So that'll be interesting to Dave to see if Aaron Rodgers is at her races.
Mm-hmm. Look at David Jennings jumping in from the news department knowing the Danica race schedule. That is strong.
I don't know the race schedule. I know that she said this was going to be her last year.
How about the racing life of a Danica Patrick? Dan Long is feverishly checking Danica's.
Well, she did win one Formula One race.
I don't care about any of
that. Was Tokyo.
Honestly, I don't care.
Look at you. I had no idea.
I don't care about any of the
races.
But
see, this is why the show is fun, because we can talk intense sports, or we could talk Aaron Rodgers, Danica, and then you get a Dave Jennings on board.
Danica going on vacation, and they rented a boat or lived the dream on a boat, and she was doing all sorts of beach activities, loves a yoga. Very strong. All right.
Aaron Rodgers, for a Packer, Aaron Rodgers is ridiculously likable. Okay, I hated Favre, and I don't like the Green Bay Packers. And I mean, I really don't like B.J. Raji, who picked off the pass in that NFC Championship game. And I don't look forward to the Bears ever playing Aaron Rodgers. But Aaron Rodgers, for a Green Bay Packer, my most hated team with the Detroit Red Wings, he's pretty likable. And now he goes from Olivia Munn to Danica.
How is it that professional athletes get to meet all the most incredible women on the planet?
That's the circle they run in, man.
I heard it was professional athletes and newsmen.
Yeah.
Not so much.
So let me just pause for 1 second here, because the first...
Nice try, though, but thanks, Aaron.
Sure.
The first NFL playoff game is ending right now. Tennessee was down 21-3 to Kansas City, and the Titans are going to come all the way back and beat the Chiefs 22-21. One of the touchdowns being a Marcus Mariota pass that was deflected back into his arms, and he ran it in.
And he extended the ball and just got the tip of the ball to the pylon.
I don't know if I've ever mentioned this to you, Harry, but I used to work in Kansas City.
Yeah, you did mention that.
The Kansas City Chiefs fans, I know a ton of them. They're so passionate. They love their team, all that type of stuff. They haven't won a home playoff game going into today in 24 years, all the way back.
Big favorites today.
Yeah, they were huge favorites. They had to go all the way back to 1993 in Joe Montana, the last time they ever won a home playoff game. And they just blew a 21-3 lead to lose to a Titans team with Marcus Mariota, who's not even good. And I just, there's a certain like level of old school Cub pain that I'm feeling right now for Kansas City. Up 3-1 and losing to the Marlins, or up 2-0 and losing to the Padres, or somehow, some way blowing a game when you absolutely positively shouldn't have. That is a brutal loss for the Kansas City Chiefs and their fans. Quick timeout.
The Chiefs were 8.5-point favorites in this game.
Yeah, well, and they, more importantly, they were up 21-3, man, to lose 22-21. That's just,
Atlanta was up 28-3.
That's just gross. All right, quick timeout, 720 WGN.
Derek Johnson, the all-time leading tackler in the history of the Chiefs, with a touchdown for Kansas City.
Little excited, was he?
No, Sean McDonough, just no voice whatsoever.
And that actually didn't happen. It was a fumble that wasn't. Derrick Henry, the Titans running back, was down, and they clearly ripped it out after he was laying on the ground, basically. So I'm kind of surprised that he was that excited on that call, but whatever.
Well, yeah, maybe he didn't see it. I didn't see it. Rams 5.5 tonight over Atlanta. Who you like?
I like the Rams.
So do I. Jags, 9-point favorites over Buffalo tomorrow. Who you taking?
I like the Jags.
I will take Buffalo.
All right. And?
And then Carolina is getting 7. New Orleans has already beaten them twice. Saints are 7-point favorites over Carolina.
I'll roll with the Panthers because everyone's picking the Saints.
Yeah, you know, I think it's a lot of points. I think the Saints will win, but I'll take the 7 with Carolina.
34-31 New Orleans. You heard it here first. Hey, Amy Guth coming up here in a matter of moments.
Guth.
The exciting. Let me just one more thing on the playoffs. Tennessee came into the playoffs at 9-7.
How about it?
Marcus Mariota came into the playoffs 13 touchdowns on the year, 15 interceptions,
and he had never been in a playoff game before, and he threw a pick.
Right,
rallied his team,
and now they've beaten Kansas City, so the New England Patriots get to play a lesser opponent. Kansas City had actually gone into New England and beaten the Patriots this year. Not saying they would have done it again, but it would have been a way more compelling matchup. This is a big loss here, team.
You know what? That's exactly what New England might be thinking, and Belichick won't let them think that. Won't let them think that.
Yeah, of course he
will. The Titans are the more dangerous team. You know why? Because they're the team that could take their season away from them. And they might have DeMarco Murray back by next weekend.
That's possible.